Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've gotten your fill. Every weekend, better ahead. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yes! That's right. Rob and Akiva need a podcast, episode number 111. And here we are, finally, season 3, episode 7 of Family Matters. And here we are here with a man who family matters to him so much that he only has time for 3.5 podcasts and 2 jobs. Here he is, the great Akiva Winokur.
What's going on, Rob?
Uncle Keith.
Family does matter to me. If there's one thing people say about me, it's that I'm a family guy.
Yeah, that's a different show. Anyway, Akiva, how have you been?
I've been great. It's much easier
Happy
to do,
Hanukkah.
As we said. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is a special Hanukkah edition of of RNAP, episode 111. Trying to think if there's any significance of that number in Judaism. I don't think there is.
Yeah. Do you get your wife anything for Hanukkah?
No, but she got me something.
Oh, what'd you get?
She got me like Among Us pajama pants.
Wow, perfect.
She got all the kids. It was like already on the site. I said, like, get the boys like an Among Us shirt and stickers and a mask and shirt. She got all that stuff. And then she got one thing for me, but we had said we weren't getting each other presents. So now I'm at this weird situation. We're at day 3 of an 8-day holiday and I have nothing for her. It's like a pandemic. I don't know what to get her. I'm in a little trouble here. If you have any ideas, maybe our guest has an idea. I don't know.
Akiva, is this a misconception that I feel like a lot of there's not a lot of adults buying gifts for other adults in Hanukkah?
Correct. You nailed it. No,
so
no.
It's so smart.
It's not all kids, but yes.
I would have so much less stress right now if it was we're just buying gifts for the kids.
Yeah, especially since my wife's birthday is also at this time of year. So I can't imagine doing like a Christmas or a Hanukkah and birthday in the same week or two.
Yeah, well, it's Christmas and Hanukkah all rolled up into one for the listeners today because we have a verifiable RNAP celebrity here with us to talk about season 3, episode 7 of Family Matters. Please welcome the great Chappelle is here. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me back. This is my second RNAP appearance.
Yes.
So send me the the headband or whatever you get when you get to your second appearance.
Two-time
RNAP celebrity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I deserve my headband and my watch. Akiva, what'd you get me for Hanukkah?
Well, I just said we don't really get grown-ups anything, but do you want a $1.99 set Among Us mask? We've got some extra.
I think you might want to save that for your wife, considering you got her nothing. Maybe,
so I should get her the extra mask that she bought.
Yeah, or like get her matching pajamas. Like, go find them on Amazon and have them overnight.
Yeah.
You don't have to put a lot of thought into it. And you're like, look, honey, we can match now.
But she hates Among Us. That's that.
It doesn't
that's the thing.
It doesn't
My
matter.
My son did say to me, "Okay, this is the first time listening to this show."
She likes you. She's fine with
tolerate. My wife, my son did say, my older son said about my younger son that he was that his mom is hoping that the 3-year-old gets in trouble in school for acting out Among Us because then she'll be able to ban it in the house. So yeah, that's really my wife's opinion on the show. Mm-hmm. She's looking for a reason to ban Among Us.
Yeah. I mean, it's not horrible. I mean, and it's coming. It's coming. Because if you're a 3-year-old and you're talking about Among Us, pretty soon you're going to wish death on someone.
Yeah.
And so imagine this. It's not long for this house.
Yeah. If a 3-year-old is talking about Among Us, though, is anybody know what they're talking about enough to that they could get in trouble? Can a 3-year-old articulate Among Us well enough that they could get in trouble? It's like, what are we talking about?
I don't think, especially there's like a language barrier there also. Like, I don't think he could. But the 6-year-old will like wake me up in the middle of the night and be like, you know, one time I played a game and there was a glitch and all 10 of us were imposters. It was crazy. Like, he just makes up like insane stories about Among Us. So maybe it's not great parenting to have any single digit age kid play it. But what are you going to do?
All right, Akiva, last time out, we got to have a PR firm worked on a bunch of ideas with Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz. And we recorded that episode midweek. So it feels like a very long time since you and I have gotten to speak. But I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, that's important, but it seemed like people really liked it. People love Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz,
yes.
First of all.
Mm-hmm. Big fan.
What do you think? Which idea do you think has the most legs? Is it the bingo DMV? What idea do you think will take off?
Yeah,
yesterday
I really felt like I was craving a Kaffee Taffee. That I was like, boy, I'm really run down. It's the middle of the day. I still got a lot of stuff to do. But I already had a cup of coffee. I wish I could just pop in some Kaffee Taffee right now.
Yeah. You know, I go away for 24 hours every weekend, Rob. I go off the grid.
Sounds so nice.
And I came back to two DMs. Usually the two entities that have DM'd me after 24 hours away. And Ali Lasher.
Yeah.
No surprise there. And at Laffy Taffy.
Yes.
I finally responded to my question about sending a person onto our show so we can pitch them Laffy Taffy jokes and they could explain how the jokes get to the actual candy. And they said they're interested. The person in social media is going to ask if there is a specific person for this. But also, if we have any jokes to share, then we should just let them know.
No. That's not how this works.
I agree.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. They're not going to buy the cow if we give them the milk for free.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't want to give them our jokes. I want them to come on and they could come get the jokes. We're not sending them to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Akiva.
Yes.
What type of pants do the Super Mario Brothers wear?
What type of pants?
Among Us pajama pants.
Close.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. By the way, Allie claimed that she can guess any Laffy Taffy joke. She can guess the punchline. I do not claim that. What's the answer, Chappelle?
Denim.
That's good.
Denim.
That's pretty good.
Put me on the black licorice flavored Laffy Taffy.
That's pretty good. Why did the banana go to the doctor?
I don't know.
Yeah, why?
He wasn't peeling well.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah. All right. Any other old business we want to talk about before we get to Family Matters?
No, I'll get to the rest of the old business in the mailbag. I'm excited to. I'm a big Urkel guy. Been an Urkel guy my whole life.
I didn't know this.
And, I'm more of a Family Matters guy, but I messaged Chappelle. I said, "Do you like Family Matters? Or are you an Urkel guy?" He was like, "Well, I'm not an Urkel guy, but I'm happy to come talk about Family Matters." Are there Urkel guys? I'm not sure.
Separate questions, right? Like,
yeah, that has a different connotation. You ask somebody if you're an Urkel guy.
Yeah, I think so. Especially after this episode, you might want to be careful what kind of guy you kind of latch on to. The Urkel is kind of, he might get canceled in 2020. That's all I'm saying.
Has Family Matters held up well? Are people still watching Family Matters? It's on Hulu. Which is the same as Full House, but I feel like that Full House has had a better shelf life than Family Matters.
Yeah, probably.
Full House has really never gone away in a weird way. I mean, there were definitely times in like the early 2000s where it was hard to find, but I think it was on reruns on cable. Like every generation has still watched Full House. My kids like Full House still. They're happy to watch any episode of Full House. They'd pick that over almost any other old show. I don't know if Family Matters has ever had a resurgence. I also think it barely did when it was the last few years it was on the air, have sort of a diehard fan base. I don't think whether it's held up or not, we could talk about, but I don't think it's had a second life.
Okay. Not yet. Not yet, because I feel like every other show, Chappelle, like I feel like they're like, oh, clamoring for a reunion. Will it come back? I don't think I've ever seen anybody looking for the cast of Family Matters to reunite.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that was like, there are better shows that are similar to this that are just better and you'd rather watch. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the issue with Family Matters the entire time is that like they had Urkel. And that was the thing. They had Urkel. Mm-hmm. And Urkel carried the show, even though he wasn't even supposed to be in the show like that. Like, I think he was like a you know, he brought in and he just stole the show. Mm-hmm. And Urkel's just not enough to keep people coming back. Like, there became other shows. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was a show. You know, Boy Meets World. There was, like, these family sitcoms that were coming in and kind of just, you know, doing better than Family Matters in the same lane that they were in. And so I wouldn't watch a Family Matters reunion because, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
Before rewatching this episode, I probably only could have named two people in the cast.
Yeah, who? Urkel and Carl?
No, and I wasn't even going to say Carl. Probably
Laura?
Whatever. Yeah, Laura or something, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
They end up married. Yeah.
It is a weird story, Family Matters, and I've never seen any sort of like documentary. I don't know if there's any sort of like turmoil on the set of Family Matters, but it is like this weird sort of story where Family Matters is a spinoff of a show that we've actually covered. Do you know this, Akiva?
Yes, we discussed it in episode one of this very program.
Yes.
That Perfect Strangers eventually spins off the, I believe, elevator operator.
Yeah, there's yes. one.
Yes. Ultimately, Harriet Winslow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Harriet Winslow and her husband, Carl, are characters on Perfect Strangers. They spin this off into Family Matters, a story like a family sitcom about the story of their life. And at some point in season one, there's a character in an episode who's not even a series regular. Who is a nerdy character who has a... I'm not sure if this is baked into the character's storyline from the start, but a next-door neighbor named Steve Urkel, who has a crush on the oldest daughter, Laura Winslow. And basically, he comes in off the bench and just like, Wally... everybody else is Wally Pipped. Did I use that right, Akiva?
Yeah, Wally Pips the whole crew, cast and crew, basically.
Yeah.
It becomes the Urkel show.
He
to
takes
the point
over
where they
the
probably
show.
Renamed it. Yeah.
Yeah. That I think that, what? Like, people like said, like, hey, are we going to watch Urkel?
Yeah. He became, like, synonymous with the show.
You could call the show Urkel. It's funny because the show is spun off for Harriet Winslow, is played by Joe Mary Payton. And we're only at season 3, episode 7, as Chappelle pointed out right before we went on. Like, this show goes 9 seasons, so we're not even a third of the way through at all.
Right. And this episode is insane.
This episode's insane. And I'm sort of happy that this is actually, like, if we had picked an episode not randomly, this would have been a good episode to pick because it is very indicative of where the show's going long term. But also in this episode, Harriet Winslow is in one scene, and I think she has one line.
Yeah.
And that's really, tell me if this is a hot take or an incorrect take, but like she's by far the biggest miss on the whole series. So it's crazy they spin off the show for her. She never really, and maybe, her, you know, I don't know who's writing the show, if it's an all male writer's room or anything, but she never really has any characteristics besides Carl's wife. She barely has a relationship with Urkel even. And she's just like completely written off the show. Totally. And I think eventually she is written off the show at the end and they flip her for somebody else, but she is just a non-entity on the show. And it's just so interesting that it does transition from the Winslows to Urkel, because some of the other Winslows I think are definitely salvageable. I like Carl. He's a good actor, right? He's in a lot of things. He's good. He has like a point of view about being a cop. And Eddie's like sort of interesting that he's like a classic dumb person. And Laura's interesting too. Laura's like the Lisa Simpson. Mm-hmm. So, Harriet is really the
you could argue the she probably had more of like a like plot points on Perfect Strangers than she did here on Family Matters.
I mean, she's I can't ever remember. I haven't seen a lot of these episodes in years. I can't ever remember a Harriet A story in all Family Matters.
Yeah. Did she go on to do much else besides, I'm looking at her IMDb that she has a career. Still best known for Family Matters.
Yeah, but she's on things. She's like still in Hollywood. She's paying the bills with acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. she ends up and being like maybe the behind Aunt Rachel, who I think that she gets replaced also. Do multiple actresses play Aunt Rachel? Do I have that wrong?
Ooh. I
feel like there's a
recasting. No, I think she goes away. I think Aunt Rachel goes away, but she's not replaced.
And also Mother Winslow.
Well, Mother Winslow, I'm trying to think if Mother Winslow makes it to the end of the series.
Come on, don't tell me.
She does. By the ninth season, she's still alive. By the ninth season, I think she's not fully... she's not fully like on the show because she's the main character.
Yeah,
Mother Winslow in the first eight seasons. I like Mother Winslow also. She's like an interesting, unique character. But the main person who gets dropped is Harriet at the very end of the series for Judy Ann Elder, another actress.
I also want to say I think that there was like another kid early on that they just like we got too many kids on this show.
Yeah, that is correct. That they wrote out one of the three kids.
Don't worry about that one. We got Urkel now. We don't have enough time to get all these kids.
Yeah, she's in the episode, right? Judy. She's in the episode at the very beginning. Her and Lil Richie come in and they're like watching the Wheel of Fortune or whatever, and they get the answer right, and they're like, "You kids watch too much TV." And as a child, I remember Judy. I also remember her as an adult. She's done some other works that we won't get into. But
whoa.
Okay. I said we won't get into them.
What is she on? OnlyFans?
She's probably before OnlyFans, okay. But she definitely has a career time. In that. She's probably like a predecessor. Like she's an OG in that realm.
Yeah.
Judy went up the stairs and
she's
never came back down.
She's in a movie called Family Mattress.
Oh, no.
I believe it's called Not Family Matters.
Okay.
But she's around as well. She's in this episode for sure. But I remember as a kid thinking the same thing about Harriet is that all I knew was that at one point she's going to stand at the top of the stairs in like this like elaborate ball gown because they're going to go out for the night and the crowd goes, "Ooh."
There's a lot of wooing on Family Matters.
Yeah, a lot of ethnic, like, "Ooh, ethnic kiss." Like that's like her theme, like background sound. And so before she comes down the steps, they're going to do that every time you see Harriet like change clothes. And I remember thinking like, she's not even dressed that great, but okay. She comes downstairs looking like shit. But, but like, and no offense to Mother Winslow, but they kind of did it to her on this episode.
She gets ooed every time she walks on. She has like, she walks in and they ooh her. She could be in her nightgown. They're ooing her.
Yeah, she's a pistol. She came around the corner this time and I said, "Mother Winslow, how dare you?" And she was basically wearing like, I don't know. She's 80 years old. I'll give her a break, but just, you know,
I think
she's 80.
More. She's like
83, I think, in the episode. I have no idea how old the actress is who plays Mother Winslow.
I think it's about the same. I think it's about the same.
She's moving around really well.
Maybe she's a little younger. I don't know.
Yeah, she's moving, but she says she's 80 and her good, her gentleman caller is Fletcher Thomas. He's 83.
Fletcher Thomas, really?
Fletcher Thomas, first of all. I don't want to spoil the whole series, so if you're going to binge all of Family Matters and you're in the middle, fast forward 30 seconds.
You're going to binge all of Family Matters. You need to have a conversation.
Well, the funny thing is I met my wife's friend, like met someone who English wasn't their first language, and they were going back and watching shows from her childhood. And she's like, "We're in the middle of Family Matters." I was like, "Oh no, you're just binging." Like this guy's going to like, no, English is bad. Don't learn English. At this point. Like, you're binging 210 episodes of Family Matters. Do you want him to leave you? Fletcher Thomas marries Mother Winslow later on.
Oh, really?
Is here to stay.
Yeah.
Good. Because it seemed like a tryst for a while. Mother Winslow was making this seem like a very physical, you know, dangerous liaison, you know, and I wasn't okay with it. I'm with Carl on this one. I guess we should talk about that at some point.
Yeah. Fletcher Thomas sounds like a good, like, inside linebacker name. I feel like I'd be psyched if like the Jets were going to draft Fletcher Thomas.
Yeah, if London Fletcher and Zach Thomas had a kid, it would be Fletcher Thomas.
I have to issue a retraction before I get dragged too much on Twitter. So that the actress who played Aunt Rachel was never recast by another actress. She ends up leaving the show at some point. That she has the restaurant Rachel's Place. They retcon the name of Rachel's Place to be called Mighty Weenie also. And she leaves and then she got like a different sitcom. I don't believe it was a spinoff called Getting By. And then she, after Getting By gets canceled, she returns during the sixth and ninth season. So it's not that she's replaced. She leaves and then she comes back.
So the only people who make it from day one are Carl, Eddie, and Laura, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So like to be in the, you know, in the credits the first nine seasons. Because Urkel's not, or in season one, he's just like a recurring guest. He's just in a few episodes, which is just crazy because what was this show going to be without Urkel? Like it was, like you said, Rob, when we signed on here, like this was a very special episode. But what you don't remember, Chappelle, you tell me if I'm wrong. Every other episode of Family Matters is a very special episode. A lot of episodes end with like Carl, you know, arresting a guy at gunpoint or learning a big lesson at like, you know, with drugs at some party. Like this is a show that really caters and specializes in very special episodes. This was not out of the norm at all.
No, this was a weekly, like, what did they learn today? You know, and I guess Urkel's a good like vessel for that kind of thing because he's a nerd, but he's a very confident nerd, right? So you're not getting the same like pushed in a locker storyline that you're getting from most nerds because Urkel's the type of person to burst out of the locker and push you in there. And so it was a lot of like him in like real world horrible situations. And then he lived with Carl, who also was a cop. So he was in some horrible situations. And Eddie, you know, dealt with like, you know, typical high school drama and Laura. So they were trying to force these lessons into, and they had, maybe that's why they had so many people on the cast, Jesus, because they had to find a lesson for each of them. But yeah, I got that too. And that might be another reason why it just doesn't, for me, when I was younger, I just didn't love it because it felt kind of preachy, just a little bit, you know? Yeah, every episode doesn't have to be a very special episode dedicated to such and such, you know, like it could just be an episode. And this was a close to just being an episode, but it had a moral at some point, I think.
Yeah. Well, for people who did not go back and rewatch season 3, episode 7 of Family Matters, really, two storylines, an A story and a B story. The B story, a little more grounded in this earth. Mother Winslow, Carl's 83-year-old mom who lives at the house, she is going on a date with a new suitor, Fletcher Thomas, and then Carl Winslow has some conflicted feelings about this. His mom being out all night. She's like trying to like sneak back in the house. Carl Winslow is staying up all night. That's the B story. The A story involves Steve Urkel has built a brand new Urkel bot. And the Urkel bot, once turned on, also falls in love with Laura Winslow. And Steve and the Urkel bot are both vying for the affection of Laura, which ultimately culminates in a very, you know, intense chase scene of Laura Winslow being harassed by the Urkel bot.
Yep.
That's the A story.
Yeah. Yes.
And the stories are intertwined a little bit. Like these are two stories of, you know, I created you and now you're trying to be in charge, you know? So like Mother Winslow has a deal with Carl, like looking at, like, she's like, I brought you into this world. You can't tell me who I can and can't date. And Steve is looking at the Urkelbot like, hey, you can't date my girlfriend. I brought you to the world. And both of them, Carl and the Urkelbot, are rebelling. They're not taking any lessons from their makers. And we have to see that throughout the episode. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. At the beginning, we see Harriet, we see Rachel, and then we never see them again. So this is definitely the only story we have to follow.
Akiva, do you think that, like, is there something contractually where does every single person in the credits, like, need to get a line in the episode? Like, we talked about this on the Seinfeld podcast, where there was, like, one episode where, like, Michael Richards was not in the episode. And he told the writers, like, if you ever don't give me a line again, write me off the show. Like, is that a thing where every single person, like, it seemed like that they had to throw a bone, even to Waldo Geraldo Faldo ends up, you know, being in a scene for no reason.
Yeah, well, he's recurring. So even, you know, if the answer to your question is yes, it's still like that, you know, Waldo is not really part of it. But I think it's more like keeping the actors happy. Like if they have no lines, they're just going to be, you know, they're going to be annoying on set. And like you're paying for the kids to go to school all day and then they're going to have zero lines in an episode. It seems like a big waste. So yeah, everybody gets like a little piece of the action. I assume at this point, and I've read of this a little, like they have, because they thought this was going to be an ensemble show and Carl would probably be the star. But like, because it's been completely taken over at this point by Jaleel White, they have to be, you know, anyone who's not in his orbit, which is essentially just Eddie and Laura and occasionally Carl, like, that is totally written out of the show. Like, there are times where I would have to track and see if they, like, actually have episodes where they aren't, don't get a line, but yeah, you're almost never getting, like, an Aunt Rachel A story,
well,
you know?
Yeah, I feel like that early on, like, Aunt Rachel was, like, going to open up a restaurant. Like, I feel I was there, like, the first three or four seasons, and then I did not stay all the way through on Family Matters. But I feel like that part of her, like, storyline was that she has the restaurant. Chappelle, is this ringing a bell? And the restaurant, there's a fire also. I remember that was a big storyline.
There's a fire. Some gang members came and ransacked it. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was pretty intense. And again, you see Urkel kind of stepping into the hero role for that. I think Carl makes him wear a wire and he goes undercover to catch the gang members. There's a real reckless police officering, you know, going on for Rachel's diner. But yeah, all of that is true. And I think, I guess that's why the credits are so long. We didn't talk about the theme song, but Jesus, this is the longest theme. They do every verse all the time. Like,
that scene, because I remember like the chorus, but mm-hmm. I don't know if this is like a special Hulu edition or what, but Chappelle, you're right. It goes on and on and on. This is like the Too Many Cooks. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's essentially the same thing as let's talk about it. It's the Full House theme song, right? Like, this is like the same song.
Is it
song?
The same people? Do we know that? Is it the same artist? No, I could see it.
It's got to be the same artist, because if you told me that was the same song and it was just like an extended version, I would believe you, because it's the same song. It's got to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I mean, this one was what, Days Go By, and the other one was the Whatever Happened to Din. It's the same guy. It's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's got to be.
I have looked up Family Matters on Cameo, and I see two of the stars on of Family Matters are on Cameo here. Okay. All right.
Are they both? Is either one of them Urkel?
Yes, one is Urkel. Jaleel White is on Cameo. Chappelle, how much for a greeting from Jaleel White, the actor who played Steve Urkel?
So in my mind, I'm thinking like, come on, Jaleel, don't do this. But then another part of me is thinking like, he probably upping the price so he doesn't have to say, did I do that? Like, he probably doesn't want to do that. So in my mind, he's probably more expensive than he should be. I give it $120.
Okay. Akiva, over or under?
First, let me just say, there's a reason why you have Chappelle on the show. He is correct. Jesse Frederick and Bennett Salve sing both. Family Matters theme song.
It's the same song.
Well, I was in my head, I was like trying to think of the theme song, and then I kept thinking, that's the Full House theme song. I couldn't.
Yes. So it makes sense. So Chappelle says 125. I will say, my impression was always that Jaleel was like, his Twitter bio, I think, was like, you know, sort of anti Urkel or something at one point.
Yeah.
He must have come back around.
Okay. What do you say?
$75.
No, it's the over. 220. Okay, next question.
I knew it.
I wonder if it costs extra to get him to say, did I do that?
Okay, well, let me play a... it looks like there's only three that are shared publicly. If I play one, do you think that he does any Urkel quotes?
No.
Okay. I don't think so.
If I were to like want a cameo from Jaleel White, honestly, I wouldn't want an Urkel quote. I would want him to say something from Sonic the Hedgehog. Because although I remember him from Urkel, it's so triggering to watch those old Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons, because it's Jaleel White and I can hear him not being Urkel. And so that's what I would want. So in my mind, he did not post the Urkel quote here.
All right. There's one pep talk that could be a little dark. There's two birthday videos. Here's one that he's in some sort of a gymnasium. Let's hear what an Urkel cameo sounds like.
All right, Billy, this shot is for your birthday. Make a wish.
Ooh, he hit it.
You saw that follow through. Now, what'd you wish for, Billy? Did you wish for a guest spot in the next Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
Oh,
who ain't cool? It is juice and jam time. Let's go. I love how much you love Sonic, man. I totally remember you drawing the picture of me and Sonic at the Rhode Island Comic Con, man. I really appreciate you. Look at me up here on Cameo. I'm actually, Jaleel, believe it or not, at somebody's house.
Wow.
Shooting a movie right now.
Shooting a movie, okay.
Man,
It doesn't seem like he's really leaning into the family matters of it all. But there is
If anything, he's a liar.
Yeah. If anything, there is one other Family Matters cast member, and that is Sean Harrison, the actor who played Waldo Geraldo Faldo, is on Cameo. Really? Chappelle, how much is a cameo from Sean Harrison?
$42.
$42. All right. You got the over or the under?
I'm going under. I'm going to say 36.
Okay. Give it to Akiva. $30. Okay.
Okay.
I thought he also went through some tough times, but I could be wrong.
Did he?
No, I guess not. Some of the people on the cast did, but he did not.
Can we talk about the cast a little bit?
Go for
before
it.
We yeah. get into the... So like, Family Matters, of course, they have the Urkel, right? Like,
yep.
But when it comes to the cast, honestly, like none of them really become staples in like television. Like none of them go on to just be somebody like you. We know them all from Family Matters. None of them go and like build their own legacy somewhere else. But like it kind of, I guess just growing up in like a black household and watching black sitcoms and stuff, we see these people all the time in like one-off black like appearances, like the friend or the aunt or, you know, whatever. And so I think Thelma Hopkins, Aunt Rachel, I think she might be the second most notable character, honestly, as far as like her career, at least from an African-American standpoint. Like Eddie Winslow makes it into a few things, but Carl Winslow is Carl Winslow.
I mean, he was in Die Hard. That's his other big thing that he's known for. And he's also
he shows up a lot. He's like the 11th lead in like a lot of movies. You know what I mean? He'd like show up.
And is he always a police officer?
Probably. Sometimes he's a dad. Yeah, he's often a cop.
But
yeah.
If you asked people, they might think he was deceased. Because I think people started to get him mixed up with Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince for a while. So he doesn't step into his own as like the TV dad. He just doesn't. It's such an odd cast where Urkel just really sucked all the energy from these people.
It's true. I'm sure they feel it. You know what's interesting also? I think Reginald Vell Johnson is like a good actor, but he's not funny. So he's like the straight man in the show, and I guess that works, but he could never really be in another comedy because he could only play like the hard-ass cop, you know? He's not funny at all. Like he has like two jokes a season.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
I also in terms of Reginald Vell Johnson, I knew there was something else. So in 2017, there was an internet hoax where a website said that he had died of a heart attack. And so there was a lot of like, oh my God, like RIP Carl Winslow, he's the best. And then it turns out that he had to come out and say that he is not dead.
If I tweeted right now that Carl Winslow was dead, RIP Carl Winslow, who died 10 years ago, nobody would question me. People would retweet it and it would go viral because people would be like, yeah, I remember him. And that sucks because this man is very much alive, I'm sure. And it's just one of those things like he just never stepped into another, you know, like really big star role. And this role should have been his star role, but Steve Urkel, the power of Steve Urkel, it literally just drained everybody, including Jaleel White. He can barely escape Urkel. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's
just a show last 9 years without Urkel. Anyway, you know what I mean? Like, no. It's not a show that we still remember.
Akiva. I don't even know what season one would have been about had he not shown up.
Yeah.
What do you think Urkel is pulling down an episode then in the heyday of Family Matters?
Well, one of my notes is like, it's season three. He's still so deep into the credits. Like
he's still on his rookie deal. Yeah.
He's still on his rookie deal because he doesn't get
because he's
end,
a walk on. He didn't come on as like a high like it was signed with like the rest of like the cast of the show.
But he has power. Like if he leaves, the show is over. I think you know nobody else other than maybe Carl can really say that. Like you could recast Eddie Laura. You wouldn't want to, but you could.
Yeah, honestly, we should be talking to who his management was because honestly, by season three. He should either be the first person on the screen during the credits or he should get the end, right?
Yeah, and he's like the end.
He got neither. He got neither.
He's in the middle before the bridge, like before it turns into Step by Step or whatever.
3 minutes to the 8 minute theme song.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. So at his peak, Jaleel White earned. Okay, Akiva, I feel like that this is your wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be upset. Honestly, it's going to upset me if it's low because, like, he should never have to work again from playing Urkel for 9 seasons.
Okay, so what?
This is gonna upset me.
Okay, at his peak, what was he making?
I'm gonna say $500,000 a season.
Oh no, more than that. $180 an episode and $4 million per season.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. That's not bad.
It's not bad.
adjusted for inflation, according to celebrity net worth, which is not always accurate, that they say that that would be $300,000 per episode today.
I mean, that's probably at the end of the show. And this show was, like, season two, it's the 15th ranked show on TV. It was a kind of a popular show. Remember Chappelle, do you want to talk about, because I couldn't watch TV on Friday nights, but talk about, like, the ABC Friday night block.
And TGIF.
Like, I don't know if they know about, if the Nicole Horns of the world know about TGIF. You know, I don't think it still exists, really.
Yeah, no, that was my jam. Like, I would come home and think, like, okay, listen, my parents are not around, so I'm just going to watch television. I have to raise myself at this point. Mm-hmm. And I would let other people's television parents raise me, too. And so I would watch Family Matters, but I was definitely trying to get through Family Matters. Like, oh, when it goes off, you know, maybe Full House will come on. I believe Step by Step was in that lineup, which is like the lesser of the three of these shows. Mm-hmm. God knows if anybody can name four characters from that show.
Cody.
Cody and the lady
Suzanne
with the thighs.
Suzanne Summers.
The thigh master.
Yeah. And then the guy who was...
with the hair.
Yeah.
See? And all, first of all of those shows lived in the same universe. Like, Family Matters, Step by Step, Full House, and Boy Meets World, I think all kind of overlapped, which is crazy. But Boy Meets World was what I was waiting on. I was trying to get through this. That's another season, another show that went like six or seven seasons, and it was just kind of like carried by one person. But I think they did a better job of including the rest of the cast, whereas like, Friday nights was Urkel night for the cast of Family Matters, and they just had to live in his world.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Also, Family Matters, I didn't remember this, goes eight seasons on ABC and then does the rare network swap for the final season.
Les Moonves was like, we need Urkel.
No, this is
pre-Moonves.
This is like the pre-Moonves dark days at CBS, when they were just trying to get anything going. And they tried to do a Cosby show on CBS. And they were just like, basically, like, hey, we'll take, like, we'll try to reboot any like popular existing sitcom on CBS. And they did a season of Family Matters on CBS, which I'm sure, like, we need to see if we can find some season 9 Family Matters episodes. I think that should be the follow-up to this.
It gets crazy. Honestly, it sort of ties into this episode, so we can talk about the episode, but it gets really crazy. And along the lines, one of the reasons why this is the perfect episode is because what happens later on, starting with season 5, is Stephen Urkel makes... like a, it's not really a robot. How would you describe it, Chappelle?
This
Stefan, like an alter ego. Basically.
It's like it's like almost like a cool clone almost, but it's him. So he kind of like, it's like he transforms into a cooler version of Steve Urkel. He becomes Stefan, and he becomes like suave, and he's everything. So Steve is obsessed with Laura, and Stefan is everything that she wants in a man, except it's Steve. So that's pretty much
like too good for her also. Right. And by the way, Stefan, similar to the robot, Stefan walks into some like sci-fi chamber when Steve is going to become Stefan and vice versa. Like there is a sci-fi element where he's like going into this show for a normal family sitcom on Friday nights really embraces science fiction a lot.
Yeah.
Early on, starting with this episode.
Akiva, what is the Stefan Urkel name for Akiva Whitaker?
Oh, that's a Chappelle. You have anything?
No, I don't. I don't want to butcher your name. I feel like I might accidentally say something in Hebrew.
Is that Kiev? Is Kiev the Stefan Urkel?
Maybe Kiev Weems.
Kiev Goldie Claws.
Kiev Goldie Claws. Know about Goldie Claws?
I don't. Yeah, but I would love to know.
You do not want to know.
You don't want to. That's why I nicknamed myself that on Among Us.
No. Rob, this is so much better than that. No, this is better than that. Not only did Akiva nickname himself Goldie Claws, he was like playing Among Us with a bunch of kids, and they like started following him on Twitter and like lauding him as Goldie Claws and like hoisting this him above their heads, like at the end of one of those movies.
You're Goldie Claws.
Suggested they might not be adults, and I was like, oh, I have to stop doing this.
You're the like the greatest of all time. Is that what it is?
Well, I had one good game. I had like a good stretch, and they called me the GOAT, and then they said like, everyone's gonna have a Claus name because it's like it was like Christmas or whatever. So people were like something Claus, and I came back as Goldie Claus. But I also didn't remember the room. Like I messed up the room name, so I never came back. And I just kept the name Goldie Claws. And my wife saw me playing like a video game at 3 a.m. once as Goldie Claws and was like, I wonder if I can call my divorce lawyer at 3 a.m. Like, I wonder if that's allowed.
Right. Like, I guess the worst Goldie part about Claws, it is if you named yourself Goldie Claws. Like, that's
what myself Goldie Claws. Like, yes.
Yeah, had they anointed you Goldie Claws, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll take it. But like to be like, I am the goat of Santa's.
Well, someone said I was the goat, but they didn't say you're Goldie Claws or anything.
But they didn't want you to wear it as a badge.
They didn't want me to wear it.
Like Carl Winslow. You're like,
put the hat on. Yeah.
Do we know, did Family Matters have a real finale, Chappelle? Do you know?
I believe they had a real finale, but like Akiva said earlier, they intended on maybe continuing another season and they just didn't.
So
I think it didn't leave like up in the air. I think Stefan and Laura might have gotten married or something of that nature.
I think Steve goes to, so the season 9 is a 2-part finale.
Yeah.
Where basically like NASA gets very involved with Urkel. And he gets sent into space to like work on something by NASA.
Yeah. I'm looking at the episode description. It doesn't sound like it ends with a, you know, a fine. And if they were going to plan on doing a 10th season, then I wonder if it's sort of like, you know, Married with Children, of like a show that goes on like has a long run, but doesn't have a finale.
But they do kiss at the end of the season 9 finale also. So that's it's sort of, you know. Because remember, Steve and Stefan are sort of fighting for Laura's love in the last few seasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, Family Matters, I think, airs like in the same exact run as Seinfeld does, where I think it starts in 89 and then ends a couple of weeks after the Seinfeld finale. Akiva, very hard to imagine that these two shows were on television at the same time.
They do seem of a different era. It's funny because Family Matters must have really gone off the rails at this point, because the Family Guy finale is in July. And if you remember back in those days, there was almost no such thing as a new episode of anything. July and August were just for reruns, right? There was, nowadays they try and program 12 months a year, but there was no such thing back then. So it's funny they burned it off in July. But yeah, that is, it seems like of a different era. But I mean, Seinfeld is dated in terms of the clothing. So which do you think feels more modern? Is it Seinfeld?
Listen, I honestly think Family Matters seems more modern, but I think it's because a lot of that fashion is kind of coming back. Whereas, like, if someone's dressed like Elaine at this point, I'm calling the police. But I think, like, Eddie's wearing, like, some overalls with, like, this very colorful orange thing at some point. And I remember thinking, that's not horrible, you know?
Yeah.
But again, if you're dressed like Elaine in 2020, we need to have a conversation.
Yeah. Eddie Winslow in this episode, he's wearing, like, a complete suit that is made out of denim. He's like a whole jumpsuit,
denim shirt.
Yeah,
he switches to a denim shirt. Very denim heavy episode for Eddie.
Yeah,
it wasn't Stefan was trying to marry Laura in the last episode, I believe, and she had to choose between Steve and Stefan, and I believe it was like do you pick Stefan, who honestly probably could do better than you, and to treat you like he can, right? Like, he's like, kind of does, he does, he's not fawning over her.
And then it was like, Stefan had like other options. He was like a player.
Do you want the simp? Yeah. Do you want Steve who respects her? And that's kind of what the dilemma was. Like, Steve is always going to be a gentleman all the time, and Stefan kind of was a jerk sometime. And so I think that was what it ultimately came down to. They kiss. I think she refuses. She decides she's going to marry Steve, and then they never show what happens after that.
Yeah. But why was this such a binary choice for Laura Winslow? Like, why weren't there other options for her? Whether it's Steve Urkel or his alter ego, Stefan Urkel. Like, I feel like that she should have ordered off the menu.
Yeah. And Laura, I'm sorry to do this, but if we had to talk about like the sitcom love interest, she's not high on my rankings at all. Like, even back then, I'm like, Steve, I mean, Topanga's on the other show. I'm just saying, like, Corey's winning it on that one. And then Myra shows up. Look at Myra. She's great. I mean,
Who is Myra? I see her in the episode description.
Well, she's, I believe, no longer with us. I believe she died very young.
Yeah. R.I.P. Myra.
Okay. Well, who was she?
She was Steve's replacement love interest for
it was like a love triangle.
Yeah. Well, at some point he starts to bring Myra around, and Laura starts to look at him like, oh, you know, she starts to feel left out. Like, oh, he doesn't fawn over me anymore. This, that, and other. So that becomes her thing. There's like Ashley Banks is on the Fresh Prince. Like, give me Ashley Banks over Laura. I'm just saying, she wasn't that much of a catch in my opinion, especially for her to treat Steve the way she did. Don't get me wrong. Steve was kind of pushy, very, very pushy, and a little, it gets a little extra. So I don't blame her. But for it to come down to like pick me or my alter ego, it's kind of a jerk move. Like, do you like me or not?
I will say I'm older than you, Chappelle. I was always into Laura Winslow.
I mean, she's fine. She's just not like, you know, if we had to rank her amongst the sitcom girlfriends, I don't think she's in the top 10.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always felt it was believable that like, especially like Steve isn't going to go after like the head cheerleader necessarily, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he would. Steve is confident. He is confident. Her, no. Yeah. But Steve is confident.
Because like this, there's so rarely in school, even though they're in high school for like the whole run of the show, basically. And like, Steve should be getting stuffed in lockers, and you rarely see stuff like that. It's such like higher level hijinks, like police shootouts and an episode here where Steve has to essentially prevent Laura from being assaulted by a robot. Like the stakes are so much higher. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a scrawny guy with big feet. So you know what they say about scrawny guys with big feet? They have big socks and they're easy to buy Hanukkah gifts for.
Chappelle, ship Urkel and Laura, or do we think that this ultimately is a relationship that has problems?
I don't ship it. And I think it's because like for this show to have 9 seasons of build up, we should really want this couple to be together. We should be like, this should be the Jim and Pam, you know, or whatever. This show.
A bad example for me, but yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I agree. They're extremely boring together, but whatever. Yeah. But yeah, this should be the flagship relationship. It was 9 seasons and people are like,
it's
fine.
Yeah. But who are you supposed to root for on this show? Like, if you're not rooting for Urkel, and I don't think anybody's rooting for Urkel, like, who are you watching this show through the eyes of? Like, you mentioned Fresh Prince. Like, everyone watching Fresh Prince is Will Smith in their head. Do you know what I mean? And if you're watching Saved by the Bell, everyone's Zach Morris. And Full House, it's like, depending on what age you are, you're probably one of the girls. Maybe if you're an adult, you're like, you know, Uncle Jesse or somebody. But, like, who are you watching the show and, like, identifying with on this show?
I think you have to root for Urkel. It is his show. If he decides to leave tomorrow, there is no more Family Matters. It does not exist. The limit does not exist. He walks off the show. That's the last episode.
Yeah. It just seems like that he is like very insistent with Laura, where to the point where it feels like at some point, like is he bothering her? It feels like she's being bothered by him.
Yeah, I think it's his approach, right? So Steve's approach is, Laura, I like you. You live next door. I think we would get along great. Will you marry me? And he just kind of skips over the middle ground of like, hey, do you like me as well? Would you like to get to know me better? We might have things in common. And he switches straight to marriage. And so Laura at least should not be taking him seriously, but he just won't leave. And so you don't really blame her for not giving him the time of day, because who wants to discuss marriage before they've even dated you? You know, and she's just kind of forced to be around him due to proximity. You know, they won't kick him out for good. So I guess we're rooting for Urkel, right? But just not to ship with Laura, just to kind of make it through life. Okay.
Yeah.
We're just rooting for him to be all right.
Should we talk about this particular episode?
So yeah, we'll go through it.
Okay. All right. We can yada yada a bit, but we start off with Eddie Winslow. He comes to Laura. He wants $50 because that he has got some sort of a traffic infraction. You would think that maybe Carl Winslow might be able to like help pull some strings with this and not have Eddie's license revoked.
I don't know about that, because see, Eddie's problem was that he didn't realize that you have to stop at stop signs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He thought if you stopped at the stop sign before, then you're good. And so I think Carl can do a lot, but he can't do that. He can't undo the fact that Eddie won't stop running stop signs because he thinks that they're like temporary. Mm-hmm. And so, Carl is, as we talked about, is a very serious cop.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he does not want to put his badge on the line because Eddie seemed to not be able to drive. Now, the question is, why hasn't Carl taught his son the rules of the road there? That's the real question.
It's true.
Yeah.
He's out there policing his mom's suitors too much to really teach his son how to drive and keeping Urkel away from his daughter, which he's doing a horrible job of, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. It's not really in Carl's nature to get Eddie. He's a tough love dad.
Yeah.
So he would not have done that. There's definitely a lot of dads who would do that, but not Carl.
Do we know that what was Carl's ultimate worldview about the prospects of Steve Urkel and Laura? Is he pro? Because I feel like that if you're a dad, I feel like that I don't know if, and again, I don't, Akiva, I don't have any daughters. Okay. So I don't know. Is Steve Urkel like a good suitor, or am I saying like, boy, my daughter could do better than that? He's too much of a nerd.
It's crazy that Carl never moves. Like a lot, I think a good dad would have up and moved. Or like, we remember, we never see Steve's parents the entire series, right? We only see Steve in his basement. We never meet Steve's parents, which is crazy, right? With the main character.
Yeah, where are Steve Urkel's parents?
They're always away. I think the bit is they're always away. We never see them once. But
because like, they hate Steve Urkel.
Probably.
I think probably. Like, yeah, I think it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, for me, Carl, like, I think most dads would, if they could, move to at least the other side of town. Like, ban Urkel from the house. He hates Urkel. Urkel is constantly destroying his home also. Like,
yeah.
He's, like, driving cars through the living room. Even in this episode, he breaks a bunch of stuff in the dining room. Like, Urkel causes thousands of dollars of damage almost every week on the show. For, like, a guy working on a 1995, you know, Chicago PD salary with 15 people living in his house, including his mom, and his wife is like an elevator operator. Like, they're not clearing six figs, and Urkel is destroying their home week after week. He's got an idiot son who you know, at least he's not gonna have to pay for college, probably. He's hanging out with Waldo. But it doesn't make any sense that he doesn't lay down the law. He should like Urkel just for Urkel to stay around. Like, it would be funny if maybe Mrs. Winslow was very charmed by Urkel for some weird reason, but they're not. He loathes Steve. He's never allowed in the house. So I guess that's the answer to your question. No, he hates Steve. And of course, he's a stalker. Like, you should not, this would not hold up well in 2020. So there's nothing about it that's like, oh yeah, Carl wishes that Laura would just say yes to Urkel.
Wow, rack him. Wow, that was one of your greatest rants, Akiva.
I like that. I like that. Especially when you got to like, well, he's hanging out with Waldo, so he's not going to college. He does end up going to college, by the way.
He does go to college. They go to,
he does go to college, by the way.
They like try and keep them in high school, and they do have to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Waldo's Twitter feed.
Yeah?
SDFU Love Sean. And he said, the call me Waldo Faldo in person, like that's my name. It's the quickest way to get ignored. Just say hi.
Okay. All right. Don't do that, everybody.
I think we're good on that.
Steve Urkel comes by. He goes right to the freezer and takes out some fish sticks. He eats fish sticks straight from the freezer. Chappelle, is this a recurring bit for Steve Urkel, or is this a one-timer?
This is a one-timer, I believe. I've never seen anything like this in my life. This is disgusting. I was like, listen, you are far too smart to be doing something so stupid. Did he say you could taste the ocean? I was like, that's freezer burn. That's not the ocean. That's not the ocean. The ocean doesn't taste like that. Where is this show filmed?
Where's Chicago? It's supposed to be in Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago? This man knows nothing about the ocean. That's why that's why he's confused. He knows nothing about the ocean. He hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
Like, sir, this is disgusting. This is, no. Absolutely.
I think
not.
He does have weird eating habits. It's
he
ringing
likes
a bell.
Cheese. That's one of his like
very big cheese.
Another, second string catchphrase, I think, is like, got any cheese?
That's right. That's right.
So behind I do that? That's number one Urkel catchphrase, but he has a 1B also. So
should we make that your Renap catchphrase? Got any cheese?
No.
Put it on a shirt?
No.
Okay. By the way, Renap merch available now in the in the RHP store.
Is Urkel, he's not the first nerd archetype, but he's the most popular one, right? This is the king nerd.
Most famous nerds. Right? Yeah. Is Urkel the most famous nerd?
He's on Mount Nerdmore.
He's on Mount Nerdmore for sure. Okay.
You got Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
Yes. Has Sheldon Cooper surpassed Urkel?
No.
Isn't he in a world of nerds? Like, isn't he just like the main star of a show full of nerds, Sheldon Cooper?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you have to ask your wife, but I think that Sheldon Cooper is on Mount Nerdmore, but I do not think that I think that Urkel like had the mantle to himself for a good 20 some odd years.
Right. He kind of created that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I Googled most famous nerds and Hermione's on the list. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing her name wrong.
Hermione.
Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory, Dexter from Dexter's Laboratory, Jimmy from the Adventures of Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius. I think Urkel is at worst on the Mount Nerd
mark. I think he's probably number one. But these other nerds, I don't think are too great. I don't think Hermione is there.
Yeah, she's not very nerdy. She's very intelligent. But like, if you're talking about like a caricature of a nerd, like Urkel's got the like high waist, like the high pants. Yeah. He's got the pin protector, the pocket protector, or whatever. He's got the glasses. He's got like the like voice, the nasally voice. I don't know if that existed before him. Did he create this, or was there like? Like in weird science, wearing suspenders.
Yeah. Well, there was the movie Revenge of the Nerds, and the Revenge of the Nerds, I think, sort of probably put nerds on the map.
Hmm. Well, I think he took the match. Urkel has to be the most famous nerd. Yeah. I don't think there's any like competition.
Velma from Scooby Doo is on this list.
Listen, person with glasses does not equal nerd.
But I always told people.
Mm-hmm.
Velma was, that's a handsome lady. Velma deserves more. The actresses they picked to play Velma in live action show, they're always there. I mean, these are not nerdy women in my opinion, but mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. all right. Well, let's see if we come back to that. Let's see. Look at this. Dr. Matthew Gray Gubler is on the list.
Oh, from Dr. Criminal
Spencer
Mind?
Reed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We know that guy.
Ross Geller is on another one of the famous nerds. Is Ross Geller a nerd?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Can you be a nerd and date Jennifer Aniston, though?
No.
You can't really.
I don't think so. Okay.
Nope.
All right, we'll come back. Lisa Simpson also is on one of these lists.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, because I always have thought of Laura as Lisa Simpson on the show, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her fellow nerd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. long story short with this, Steve Urkel is working on a robot because he's trying to win a computer where there's a prize at this competition. He already has a computer. He's going to give Laura a computer. She wants a computer. Ultimately, yeah. I don't know why Laura needed to be invested in this. It doesn't really pay off in any way for the plot.
No, it's kind of like, yeah, you could remove Laura from that altogether, right? Like you could say Steve wants to win this competition. And so he built a, or you could just say Steve built a robot.
Yeah,
he's a nerd, thus he built a robot.
Yeah, they do get like a little bit of a gimmick out of that. She like gives him, does she give him a hug or something? And then he like walks into a wall and then knocks stuff down. And they go to the opening credits off of that. But maybe they just did it for the gag.
Yeah, the moment. Yeah, because she has to be invested in him so that she gets her lines, right? Because mm-hmm. we talked about this. Everyone has to have a moment with Steve. And of course, hers is that like, she's so grateful that Steve is going to give her the computer when she wins it that she touches him mm-hmm. and he malfunctions as a human being. It doesn't compute for him. Steve Urkel. And he like slowly, he starts to vibrate.
Yeah. yeah.
And he runs into the wall.
Like there's something wrong with him.
And then he passes out. Yeah. He passes out as if he had just finished something very strenuous. And so just kind of goes to sleep. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that this was how they were going to beat the robot. Akiva, did you think that if Laura Winslow would have kissed the Robo Urkel, then it would have its head would have exploded?
It's possible, because I did write in my notes that when Laura like gives Steve a hug, one of the rare hugs of the whole series, he like short circuits. I wrote Steve before we see the robot. Steve like collapses. My son walked in the room. Oh, he thought it was so funny.
I wrote he malfunctions in my notes.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so Steve malfunctions from the hug. Even when he saves her life at the end of the episode, she does not go for hug number two. Yeah. She gives him a firm handshake.
I feel like we could have come in and really punched up this Family Matters script and made it a lot tighter before. And they must have been on such a like a go, go, go sort of pace to get these Family Matters episodes out.
Yeah, they were just spinning their wheels.
25 episodes a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were spinning their wheels. They had like this much content and 30 minutes, and they were like, "Okay, let's just figure out something. Just put something together real quick, you know, because yeah, you're right. Because what you, ideally what we would have done is like, because we saw how the robot reacted to Steve. I mean, how Steve reacted to Laura. Like, imagine what happens yes. when Laura touches the robot. She kisses him.
Yeah.
His ears start to whistle like Rosie from the Jetsons. Mm-hmm. And he starts to like, and right. he blows up.
And spoiler alert that ultimately Steve Urkel beats the robot by spraying it with a fire extinguisher. It wasn't like they had some great MacGuffin that was going to be how they stopped the robot.
Yeah, it just the same thing you would do to put out anything that just got too hot. You would use the fire extinguisher, and mm-hmm. then he dies. That's it.
Yeah,
that's the end.
Can I tell you what happens to the robot?
Yeah, well, sure. I see that season 3, episode 24. I see Robo Nerd 2.
Yes, so there is a repeat of Steve's robot. Next time he is Urkel cop. He comes back as a police detective.
Yeah. Well, we are robot. At the height of sort of like a RoboCop era on mm-hmm. The early 90s. So I think that we're trying to ride off the back of the popularity of the RoboCop franchise.
And I will say, because we're ragging on the show mostly, the actual robot is pretty well done. Like whatever the robot God. Is.
It's amazing.
The show's produced very well, that part of it. The script leaves what to be desired, but the robot's really good. So in Robo Nerd 2, they basically Carl, as he often does, puts the lives of his loved ones in danger by basically staging a robbery at is it Rachel's store? Is it somebody
Rachel's
some store?
Place? Yeah, the restaurant.
No, it's not a Rachel's place. It's a the
it's
robot
a convenience store.
Yeah, the robot basically like picks like has some data. Like pre, Giuliani Bloomberg, like here's where the next crime's going to happen. Data to like, you know,
it's like a Minority Report situation. Yeah,
yeah. So we're going to get robbed here, and then basically they do, and the gunman pulls the gun on whoever it is, Steve and Laura and Eddie, some combination of them.
Yeah, there really is a lot of gunplay in Family Matters.
A lot of guns. There is a lot of guns, and then the robot disarms the bad guy, he puts him to bed after that, saying he's going to become a dancing robot going forward. I don't believe the dancing robot shows up again. And the next time they deal with robotics, season 5 with Stefan. But yeah, there is a lot of climactic scenes that end with with a police shootout or guns. I think the overall theme, because Carl is like very much a good cop, right? Carl loves being police.
Yeah, he's not a dirty cop. Like it's not like not at all. It's not and a for dark Carl, show.
Like, it is interesting because like in addition to like. Ignoring the insane harassment issues of like this, you know, Urkel being a stalker and then creating a robot that somehow mm-hmm. stalks the same person, which seems a little questionable. Like the one of the messages of the show is like the police is good. Basically, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't think that was the climactic scene you were going to talk about, though. I thought we were talking about that hug. But,
oh yeah, no. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the Mother Winslow storyline. We basically told you already everything that's going on with Mother Winslow. She's going on a date. Anything that either of you want to say about Mother Winslow going on the date?
She does a walk of shame at 6:15.
Yeah,
that
she
kind of
does.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen. You want to be sympathetic to Mother Winslow because she wants you. Mother Winslow wants to have a life too. Got it. Ma'am, you're 80 years old. You're not creeping into that house at 6:15 in the morning. I don't care who you are. I don't care who mama you are. 6:15? What were you and Fletcher Thomas doing at 6:15?
Yeah, why'd she have to come back? Why didn't she just stay over?
And this is before Ubers. Did you put this old lady on a taxi? Fletcher Thomas? Fletcher Thomas, you're a dog.
Did he not drive? You think Fletcher didn't drive her home like, hey, I'm sneaking at 6 a.m.? There's no way you're saying... I mean, she marries the guy.
I mean, eventually, yeah, listen. Listen. People overlook... certain aspects of their dating, sure. You know. Sure. Yeah, but let's talk about... Fletcher Thomas is a player, okay? He put her on that cab. He mm-hmm. put her in the cab and sent her back in the cab. And Mother Winslow, to her credit, she's a city girl. She's out here trying to live her life, okay? She said, look, I'm not dead. I have needs, mm-hmm. and I'm going to handle them, and then I'm going to come back in this house at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, the problem for me is that Carl stayed up all night. For me, personally... I don't want to know what Mother Winslow was doing, Carl. No. You shouldn't be staying up. You should pretend that she was at home in bed at 9:30. Because if she tells you what she does, and Mother Winslow has no issue flaunting her escapades in front of her son. if she tells you what they were doing, oh my gosh, Carl, what are you going to do at that point? Hide the gun.
Yeah. He's painted himself into a corner here. It's a good point.
Right. Pretty much.
It's like he's completely unconcerned that his daughter, that I guess he should care about, is like almost being murdered 20 feet away in a basement by a robot. Meanwhile, his mom is out there in a consensual relationship with her future husband. No, no, no. We're putting an end to that.
Yeah. Like that's when you just, there's like a bell curve, right? Of like people you should be worried about and people you shouldn't, right? Or something like that. Or maybe it's like the more worried you should be at a certain age. Your mom hits 80. Yeah. I'm worried about Fletcher Thomas. I need to know who his people are. I need to know who his
Fletcher
grandkids
Thomas
are.
Have a robot? No? Okay. It's fine.
Right. Right. It's fine. And I think, you know, you're right, Akiva. Laura's next door about to get like, we don't know what's about to happen to her. Mm-hmm. And Carl's like, yeah, but my mom though. And so, and like, again, to Carl's credit, his mom did kind of hint to what she's doing. She said they can hit the hot tub. They have a coupon for two for one at the hot tub club.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might've pulled up. I might've showed up to the hot tub club with the gun. Just, I'm just saying as a cop, not to assault anybody or anything. I'm just saying, just like, you know, official detective business. So yeah, he probably should worry about a little bit more about Laura.
Hot tub club on coupon night might get a little wild. Also,
that's why I say bring the gun. You just never know. Just for protection.
We go back to Eddie. We see some Waldo, Geraldo, Faldo. Eddie's still trying to get this $50. That never really gets settled in the episode. We don't know what goes on with Eddie and this parking enforcement or this traffic infraction that he has. And we have Urkel come in and interrupt them and say he has something to show them. Urkel has somehow wheeled the Urkel bot into the living room of the house.
Yeah, he came through the front door. Does he have a key? Let's just be honest.
He definitely does not have a key. If he has a key, they don't know about it.
Yeah.
It's sort of right. And he usually comes through the back door. I guess maybe that's where his house is situated.
Yeah, it seemed very impractical that he wheeled the Urkel bot to the front of the house to come in the living room. They were already in the kitchen.
Yeah. He's rarely in that front room. Yeah, he comes into the kitchen most.
Tried to hide the fact that Urkel did not really wheel in the Urkel bot on a hand truck.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where, you know, like if you're moving your couch and then you get to the front door and then you notice that those hinges are sticking out just a little too far. So now you have to take the whole door apart just to bring the couch in. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, I could go through the kitchen, but that door just doesn't swing wide enough. And so he had to go through the front door. The question is, who allowed this man into your home? How did he get in? I would just like to know that.
Maybe Mother Winslow left it open.
Your daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, he's stalking Laura, yes, but he's also stalking Carl. He's about as obsessed with both of them equally. Mm-hmm. And so I think the problem here is Harriet. Harriet's allowing this man to like terrorize her family because she wants to be nice.
And does I think she that's why own the home, Chappelle? Do we know this?
I don't know. I don't know if she owns the home, but she definitely is the reason why Urkel can come and go. Like she's kind of like his guardian. Like, oh no, you guys, it's just Steve. It's fine. So we're putting a lot of blame on Carl, but we gotta look at Harriet at some point and be like, well, girl, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. It's true. They have a lot of the hijinks happen because she's in so few scenes, like when she's not there. So I do think there's a lot of like Harriet doesn't realize that it's like one of these things where like you ever in the back of class and like you and your friend hits you and then you hit them back and that's when the teacher's looking. So that's a lot of like Harriet's never looking when Steve's doing the first hitting, you know?
Yeah. Carl's like, he's doing something. She's like, oh, Carl, you're so crazy.
Rob, you never had that? That doesn't ring a bell? Like you're fighting in the class or something? And
I don't know if I was like fighting with too many people in class.
Well, yeah, because one time I remember I hit my friend over the head with a science textbook. He was a good friend of mine. He still is. In ninth grade. And then he smashed me. But that's when the teacher turned around. And he got suspended. I got in no trouble. So I was like the Urkel there. And the teacher was the Harriet Winslow.
Did I do that? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He didn't snitch on me either.
They power up the robo nerd and that it is very impressive. Like they kind of got like one of these people, like you'll see them like in like, I'm sure they have them in like Times Square or like Santa Monica or any place that like a lot of tourists are. Yeah. One of these guys who's like painted in metal who can move like a robot. They do a good job with the Urkel bot. Looks a lot like Steve Urkel.
Yeah, it looks like him, but it's kind of given like, are you guys familiar with The Wiz? Nipsey Russell as the Tin Man. He's giving you those kind of vibes. Like, yeah, he's a robot. He doesn't really look like a robot. He just looks like a guy kind of, you know, painted silver. And Urkelbot has some moves. He's dancing. He's which Akiva said later on, he becomes a dancing robot full time. But I mean, he's gliding across the floor. He's smelling flowers. Steve says he's learning by the minute. And that's a problem. And anytime we see robots, smart. The moment someone says this robot can learn, stop the movie. We know this is a tragedy. We know it's not going to end well because that's just not. Isn't that one of the rules? Did Christian Ubicki tell you that, Rob?
I got to ask him about that. Maybe we can get him to watch Robo Nerd 1 and 2 and see if he can weigh in on the actual behavior of these or Robot Urkel.
I will come back for that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Okay.
So we power up Robo Nerd. He can move around the house. He's breaking stuff. He has all of Steve Urkel's signature catchphrases. And they realize something, that Laura walks into the room and Robo Nerd also has a thing for Laura. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, who could have saw that coming, right?
Yeah. Akiva, is Robo Nerd anatomically correct?
I don't think so. Like, what? I don't know Robo Nerd's endgame, like, what he's going to do, because I don't think so. Now, Robo Nerd, like, the actual robot, is not, for people who are not watching the episode, it's not, there's no animation, right? It's just like a well done costume.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, for people who aren't aware. So, yeah, I don't, but we're led to believe, of course, as the viewer, that it's an actual robot. So I don't think it should be anatomically correct. I mean, it does have the suspenders.
Because it doesn't look like that. It's kind of like, Chappelle, going back to the Wizard of Oz stuff, like it is sort of like the Tin Man. It's not like that the robot is wearing clothes that he could be potentially anatomically correct. That he looks like that he's just like a medical mannequin walking around.
Right, exactly. Like, this man should not be able to, well, I guess this robot should not be able to accomplish anything with Laura based on what we see. But, you know, strange things happen on television and in movies. And I remember this one movie where these two cars actually, like, mounted the other car, and they started to do things that you would think cars could not do because of anatomy. And so
what
I wouldn't put it past
that?
Robo. Let me look it up.
Yeah,
because I don't want people trying to mention me asking about it because I don't want to watch it. But I remember this.
It doesn't
happened.
Have the missing daughter and, from Family Matters, does it?
Oh no, not that kind of movie. Okay. I'm sure Jamie Foxworth, I think that's her name, would not be obliged to do such things. But who
she
knows?
Seems like right? She's doing okay on Instagram. I'm looking.
I bet.
Yeah.
No OnlyFans, Rob. Let's not. Okay. Yeah.
Right,
I mean, what's the shelf life on such a career? You know, like, I'm sure in the late 90s, she probably would have, you know, she would have slayed OnlyFans, but you know.
Well, it might have been maybe early 2000s. I don't know. Late 90s, it would have been a big problem.
Yeah. On TGOF. Yeah. So,
unfortunately,
they can't turn off the Robo Nerd. It's a big problem.
Well, Steve goes to cut it off. He's like, sneaks by, like when the first off, he tells Robo Nerd, like, hey, power down. And Robo Nerd's like, no. He says, like, I'm not a off type of guy. I'm a on type of guy. Like, that's how I roll. Mm-hmm. And so Steve, like, sneaks in, turns off the battery, like, from behind, like, you know, he attacks him, like, oh, look, got him when he wasn't looking. And then Robo Nerd bypasses that and says, no, I'm back on. Thank you. So they attempt to turn him off, but they don't. And then we never see how they subdue Robo Nerd. He just kind of leaves the room.
Yeah, they just like, let's get out of here. It's a good thing, like, Carl Winslow didn't walk in. He would have been really pissed to have seen a robot just running ransack all over the house. So then we get back to the storyline. I don't know where Robo Nerd goes off to, but Carl Winslow is going to have it out with Mother Winslow. And there's like a gag where he's like really going off, like, Mother Winslow, I don't want you to see that man anymore. And then we pull back and she's not even in the chair. He's practicing. And then she comes in the room and then he completely caves and tells her, do whatever you want.
Yeah, she doesn't. I mean, this is mom, right?
Mother Winslow. Yeah,
it's Mother Winslow. I mean, what you gonna do, Carl? I just think his issue was she just was so, like, so liberated in the way she was talking to her son. And I don't think any son wants to hear about their mother's exploits, even though Carl seemed like he was interested in keeping her, you know, safe from this, you know, possibly predatorial, you know, Fletcher Thomas. But he seemed like he... He didn't like Fletcher because he saw that this was somebody that could like step into his mom's life and be important to her. And I think Carl just kind of, you know, he misses his dad.
Akiva, do you think that Carl Winslow was concerned about being out of the will? Maybe that Fletcher Thomas was going to be coming in and now being inheriting the Winslow estate.
Well, is this Mother Winslow's house? Like, does she have a big estate that we don't know about?
I don't know.
She might be living. She's living in a side room by like the kitchen. Like,
yeah.
Is she so loaded? I, you know what I mean? I don't know. And also the will. I don't know if either of you ever had relatives who like threatened the will. You can't go there too often. It's very annoying.
Mother Winslow doesn't care. She says she spent there. She said, I had to write you guys out of the will so I could buy this dress. And I told you that dress looked like trash.
Yeah.
So,
but like, they were all scared. They were like, wait, hold on. That. Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah. Like, not our inheritance. Like, ma'am, if this dress could possibly get me written out of the will, yeah, Fletcher Thomas is about to come in and push you right on out the door, Carl. You should be worried. Shoot. I'm Team Carl now.
We go to our big action set piece where Laura goes down to Steve Urkel's lab/dungeon, and she goes to go look for Steve, but he's not there. The Urkel bot is there and basically is telling Laura that she can't leave and that they're going to get married. And this is, first off, Akiva, Steve Urkel's lab looks like a very dangerous place.
It is dangerous. First of all, I don't know how big the Urkel home is, but the ceilings of his lab, I always noticed, are like 30 feet high. Mm-hmm. In the basement, there is no end to this room. There are billionaires that don't have rooms with this high a ceiling. It's pretty wild. And this is in Chicago, like expensive real
estate. What's the estimated value of the Urkel home, do you think?
We've never really seen it. I mean, how big? I'm trying to think how many bedrooms. The Winslow home is large, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's like at least one bedroom near the kitchen. I think there's downstairs stuff.
Do they have an attic, too? I feel like Rachel's in the attic.
Yeah, Rachel might
be
in the attic.
Maybe I'm getting confused with Family Matters.
Like, there's the master bedroom plus multiple kids. I think everyone basically has their own room. Laura, Eddie.
Yeah.
Richie lives there, remember, for a while. You know, Richie is Aunt Rachel's kid who's about to become a major player in later seasons. There are a lot of people living in this home. So I hope they didn't sell it. I hope they kept
multi-generational home, the Winslows.
Yeah, they could have, but I'm saying now it would be worth, you know, quadruple, whatever it was. I hope they held on to it, kept in the family.
Okay. So the robot is now harassing Laura and says that the robot called her there, that he can like do other people's voices. And he makes a very threatening statement towards Laura. I pulled one sound clip. This is what the robo nerd says to Laura Winslow.
Come on, baby, let's energize.
Oh, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should we try that?
Yeah.
Energizing?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, like, should we use that, like, with our, and then say next week how that works?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll use it. I'll use it. You let me know. You let me know how it goes, too.
No, I need to play by play. Make sure y'all let me know.
Let's energize.
Do you think you could do an Urkel impression, Rob?
Did I do that? Like, you know, it sounds like it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, very standard.
Pretty basic. Urkel is locked in the closet and then he's ends up like busting down the door. I mean, this gets very, very menacing, Chappelle. Like, Laura is trying to fight off the Urkel bot, the robo nerd, with like a metal rod. The robot takes it from her. He like smashes a whole table with it and then he's like chasing her.
Yeah, it was. If you didn't know this was a sitcom, you would have thought that like she was in real danger, especially because you have like the setup is Steve is on the other side of the door and he's trapped in there, and the Urkelbot has her cornered and she's trying to fight him off, and then Steve just musters up the power of 1,000 Urkels and bursts down the door. Like, if this was a longer movie or a more serious show, we would have saw like him MacGyvering his way out. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, I don't know, the police officer who lives next door would have shown up. Who knows? But, you know, he just finds the strength of King Urkel and he kicks in the door, and that's how he's able to save her. But yeah, if I didn't know this was a sitcom, I would have thought Laura was in some deep trouble. And you'd hope that her detective cop dad would have cared. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
So ultimately,
Steve Urkel is going to get the fire extinguisher and then hoses this thing down. It short circuits. It's also doing like Elvis impressions for some reason. And I don't really get why that was brought into it.
Still very big in the early 90s. Every sitcom had to talk about Elvis like five times a season minimum, legally.
Yeah. It was in the contract. He's in the credits. Days go by.
Like Elvis is gone. No, like other than if a movie's in Vegas and you occasionally see the Vegas
Elvis is over.
The Elvis impersonator. I think Elvis is over. I don't know if that's how
they canceled.
Elvis. He could have a renaissance. We did just see when we watched the Leprechaun 3 in Vegas.
Yeah,
there was Elvis there, but. You just don't see any Elvis anymore.
All right, can we go back to the PR firm and could we bring back Elvis? What does Elvis need?
I think the key is he needs to go away fully for like 10 years and then we could bring him back. You know what I mean? He needs a reboot and a full break.
He needs to release some original music that he actually made.
Yeah.
And I think people will be okay with that. Like the idea behind Elvis is that like, hey, he's famous, but he's famous for like being the face for like other people's work. Like, hey, this is a palatable person we can give this music to, and people love him. And you know, rock and roll is out here getting people pregnant, and we want this to be the face of rock and roll. So if we're gonna bring him back, we need him to create some songs.
Do you think he's got music in the chamber, Elvis, that like hasn't been released?
No. I think
other dead artists.
Yeah, he could do like a Tupac or a Biggie, like an album after he passes, you know, several years later, obviously, and we could do like the Lost Files of Elvis. I would like to talk
Elvis
about
hologram. Elvis hologram, maybe.
Would you watch an Elvis hologram? Like, if you could get tickets,
but I hate. I wouldn't watch an Elvis anything.
Wait, hold on. You hate Elvis? Or you hate holograms?
Both. I'm not a big fan of holograms. I thought the whole Robert Kardashian thing was really weird. So like bring back dead people, I don't know.
There's no hologram you'd be interested in seeing?
I mean, are holograms I'd be interested in seeing, but I don't like Elvis enough to see an Elvis hologram. I might not be the demo for Elvis.
Mm. Which Beatles hologram would you least like to see?
The Beatles.
I don't like the Beatles.
I know, but I mean, which one is, I said least. You gotta pick
McCartney.
One.
Paul McCartney, because it would be funny to have a living person as a hologram.
Oh, you guys, I Googled it. I found the car sex. I mean, the car movie.
Yes.
Okay. Southland Tales is a 2006 science fiction comedy thriller. Oh, it's a comedy. You got The Rock, Sean William Scott, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Mandy Moore of, you know, Pennies in Her Pocket, and Justin Timberlake. And in this movie, these cars have intercourse. And I would not say that they are anatomically correct, but they do the thing and it's graphic.
But this looks like it's a live action movie. The cars are having.
There's some exhaust opening.
Intercars
with you relations. Yeah, they're doing that. I don't know how I feel about that, but it happened. And so my point is, Urkelbot can as well.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we should be basically all that to say Laura should be worried.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
And that's season 3, episode 7 of Family Matters. Is there anything else about this particular episode that we should touch on?
I had a note. What if they wrote out Harriet and then like Carl marries Rachel? Because
you want that, Akiva?
I wouldn't want it, but like Rachel, I think is more interesting than Harriet at this point. But I it just made me laugh that the three of them are watching TV like squished on a too small couch. Like imagine your wife and your wife's sister.
Yeah.
Like watching Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune.
I don't know.
So I Googled the 13 most ridiculously Family Matters episodes ever. Do you want to hear about some of the really off the rails Family Matters episodes?
Oh, of course.
Okay, in an episode called with that, we should have done real or fake Family Matters episodes. That would
be good.
Good way to go. Okay, an episode called Little Big Guy. Urkel's transformation chamber goes berserk. The nerd and flustered foil Carl are shrunk to 2 inches tall, and as a result, they must work together to dodge hazards such as rolling fruit and large house cats. So there's like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids episode.
Where did they get that idea? They're just like RoboCop, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Anything that's popular in the early 90s, they're stealing.
Okay. There is an episode called Aunt Una, where Urkel's aunt, Aunt Una, played by Donna Summer from Altoona, visits. I think that the writers thought, like, Waldo, Geraldo, Faldo is money. Aunt Una from Altoona is another character they make up. Harriet and the others help break Una out of her shell by taking her to a karaoke bar. Meanwhile, Eddie and Waldo need to win to pay for an accident caused by Waldo's snowmobile.
Yeah, I remember that episode vaguely because, you know, Donna Summer, being like the disco queen that she is, she's like, Aunt Una looks like she's like a recluse, you know, almost like, oh, we're going to take her to get her out of her shell. We take her to do karaoke. And then, of course, she's Donna Summer. So she goes and does karaoke like no one, none other. And so I vaguely remember that. Rest in peace, the good Donna Summer.
RoboNerd 2 is on this list. In an episode called Boom, Urkel makes friends with an orangutan who's doomed to a life of scientific experiments. Meanwhile, Carl and Lieutenant Murtaugh try to defuse a bomb hidden in a treadmill booby-trapped by a revenge seeker named Nitro Newton, a.k.a. the Boston Bomber.
Why is the Boston Bomber bombing up Chicago?
Moved on. There's an episode called Father Time where Steve and Carl use a time transporting device to travel back in time. In spite of Steve's warnings not to tamper with the past, Carl leaves himself a note to make investments in stocks that skyrocket. When Carl and Steve return to the present, they find out that Carl's the richest man in the world, worth $247 billion. Unfortunately, they also find out that Carl hasn't hugged Estelle in years, that Estelle is divorcing him, and that Eddie and Laura were never born. So that's their Back to the Future ripoff episode.
Who is Estelle?
That, is that Mother Winslow?
No, that's, I mean, that's wife Winslow.
No, Harriet is his wife.
Oh, yeah, Estelle's Mother Winslow. Yeah, Estelle's Mother Winslow.
Yeah,
yes,
they, I don't know why they use the more familiar Estelle than Mother Winslow.
Right.
Said, there's a American Gladiators episode where Carl Winslow competes on American Gladiators. There's a Steve Urkel is a ventriloquist or has like a evil like Chucky doll. There's a second, there's a sequel. Apparently, there's a lot of Family Matters sequel episodes. There is a Nonsense episode where, according to Wikipedia, Urkel, offended that his privacy has been violated, tells Myra to get lost when she presents him with a new drawing of himself. Oh, no. Steve, the next morning, Urkel learns that Myra is going to a convent.
Big shock.
Yeah. Causing the nerd to assume that she plans to join. He quickly enlists Eddie and Waldo to dress as nuns. This is like the Nuns on the Run episode, I guess, to find Myra to get her to reconsider going to the nunnery. Of course, she had gone there to visit her aunt, but none of that comes out until the guys are nearly arrested.
You know, nun play was a very good, big thing back then.
Yeah.
We had like, that was like a sitcom trope. Like at some point you have to have the nun hood on. I think it's called a hood. And then remember Sister Act?
Yeah.
That was very,
Sister Act 3 coming up, Akiva.
Yeah, that was nun play heavy.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not shocked.
Okay. There is an episode that is called Original Gangsta Dog, which Steve Urkel's hip-hop cousin from Detroit, played also by Jaleel White, has an unwelcome visit to the Winslow household while Steve is away visiting his uncle. And little does OGD know it, that he'll need the Winslow's help on evading a titanic thug known as Fresh Squeeze that owes him $4,000. Also,
yeah, I remember that.
Missy Misdemeanor Elliot makes a surprise cameo appearance in this episode.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This sounds good. I think we should track, what's his name? OGD?
OGD. There's a pirate episode. Yeah.
He really plays a lot of, he does not play the RoboNerd in this episode, but he really plays a lot of random characters. Yes. Like he does have a lot of range. Yeah. Julia White.
We could go on. There's an episode that has the WWF's Bushwhackers appear as the Psycho Twins. There's a lot, going on here in Family Matters. So maybe a deep dive might be worth it for somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rise and fall of.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
Or at the very least, like do one of those things to keep it where it's like, we just showed an artificial intelligence 210 Family Matters episodes, and here's the script it wrote.
Yeah.
No, I think you could do that. Well, there's enough content. You could definitely come up with something.
And so
let the Renat bot have it.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to lead to. My final thing, Chappelle, is that do you think Akiva and I should be concerned that what happened with the Robo Nerd could happen to us with the Renat bot?
No disrespect to the Renat bot, but I don't think it can think. A lot of the things it's starting to spit out. Has it been so reckless? like as it is now, like it now, it doesn't even have to include Rob and Akiva even in the tweet. It's like episode 7 with Missy and Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz. Like, where
it just spits Rob out and Akiva stuff. Talk?
Yeah, he just spits out random words. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you should be worried. Yeah. If there's anything this thing can pull off, you should be very worried because it seems like it's kind of flying off the handle.
Akiva, it had an episode the other day that was, I forget what we were doing. It's like, Akiva is the guest, or you don't even need him for this one.
Yeah. It's trying to write us out, especially me. A lot of times it's Robin Akiva, not Akiva. So
I say yeah. Aki.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Okay. I guess that's how it pronounces it, probably. Aki.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Family matters, Akiva.
No, I think that's it. I think we really covered it.
You really impressed me with your Family Matters knowledge today.
I appreciate it. Well, that's why it was on the list, because it was a show that I have, you know, some fond memories of. Urkel calling Laura, he has a lot of like very dorky nicknames for Sugar Knees. I think Mel Gibson would have been good.
No,
to use
Sugar
that
Knees, I think, is bad.
Wait,
Sugar Knees is bad.
Yeah,
is Sugar Knees bad?
It's better than I don't know.
Knees?
But every episode.
I don't
usually
like it, Chappelle.
My pet.
Yeah, don't fret my pet. Yeah, that's like his third catchphrase.
Mm-hmm. He's really catcalling her at this point. But sugar knees sounds like that's not that offensive. Maybe it is, but you know, like what's that little part on your elbow? What's it called? Weenus? Your sugar weenus. Like, what if you called her that? Would that be equally offensive?
I think so.
Isn't it called weenus? Like you can't hurt it yourself. Like if you tried to pinch it, like you can't hurt your own weenus.
Not gonna pinch my weenus.
If someone else grabs your weenus, you can't stop them either. It's physically impossible.
Because
you have to be appalled first that someone touched your weenus, and then you react. So by the time you react, it's really like it's too late.
Another note: Urkel faints at the beginning of this episode. A lot more fainting in 1990 on shows than they would have in 2020. Everyone's always fainting. If something crazy happened, you just faint.
Now fainting is really
few and far between.
Yeah, I've seen like 400 seasons of Grey's Anatomy, and you would think people faint all the time, and they don't. So yeah, it's definitely a 90s thing.
Yeah. Original air date on this one, November 1, 1991. So we're coming up on the 20-year anniversary of Robo Nerd next year.
Wow. Okay.
Inside the one-year mark.
Wow.
20-year Robo anniversary.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. 91, huh?
Yeah.
What do you guys remember from 91?
Hmm.
What was the most popular movie in 91?
I think it was Terminator 2.
Was that 91?
I think so. Most popular movies of 1991. I would think it was... how about The Bodyguard? Is that 1990?
That's a good pick if it's 91.
Silence of the Land, I think, was the critically acclaimed movie. This won't surprise anybody who you know is familiar with me, but like the only things I can remember from 91 are Sportsoid, like the Jets being 7-8 against the 8-7 Dolphins the last game of the season, and winning, making the Raul Allegri kicking the field goal and beating Marino in overtime to make the playoffs.
So I don't have gross by the year. Yeah, I was right. Terminator 2 Judgment Day is number 1. Robin Hood Prince of Thieves number 2.
What?
Okay.
Number 3 Home Alone 1. It's Home Alone season. Akiva.
I see Beauty and the Beast is number 3 on the list I'm looking at, but this might be worldwide. Is worldwide.
Perhaps. Then Silence of the Lambs, City Slickers, Dances with Wolves with our ops Kevin Costner. Sleeping with the Enemy, Adam's Family 1, Naked Gun 2.5, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Mm. There's approximately 7 black people in all those movies. You were naming them all. I was like, God, no wonder why nobody was like, shoot, inclusion matters. Jesus. Other popular movies that include black people are New Jack City. It came out in 1991. There might have been a black guy in My Girl.
OJ was in Naked Gun 2.5.
Yeah. The Last Boy Scout had Damon Wayans, I think.
JFK was a big movie that year. A lot of diversity in JFK.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Five Heartbeats. Such a good movie.
Yeah.
If you've never seen it, it's not that great of a movie, but it's near and dear to my soul.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Anything else from Family Matters?
That's all I got.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you be more likely to watch an old Family Matters episode now, Rob, or less likely?
I don't know. I think I might, like, if my kids were interested in watching it, I think that would be fun to show them.
Do you think your kids would have liked, I mean, this episode's a little scary.
They would have liked RoboNerd. Yeah, they would have been interested in seeing the robot. So I think that some of the madcap adventures of Steve Urkel, I think that if you're seven, I think that this might still, like, I didn't think it seemed very dated to me.
Yeah. The early seasons also are a little bit more kid friendly, I think. And then once they're like in college and it's more like job centric, they might not care as much.
Actually, one last thing. Family Matters, reboot or sequel? Chappelle, what are we doing with the Family Matters IP? Are we recasting it with a new Urkel? Are we reuniting the cast?
No, you can't redo Urkel, right? Like, he has the he's his own thing.
So it's Urkel. It's Urkel now. He's the Carl Winslow, and we're living with Urkel's family. He is the patriarch of a new family with Laura Winslow.
With Laura Winslow, okay, yes, and so he's still clumsy and wacky, like kind of like a Rick Moranis type.
Well, I wonder, is he like the CEO of Google?
Ooh. Or NASA, right?
Yes. Like
NASA
comes up a lot. Is Steve Urkel worth now, $27 billion?
Yeah, probably. But here's the thing. So what's his foil, right? Because we know the foil of Family Matters was Urkel. So now if he's the main character, it's almost like making, Kimmy Gibbler, like, the main character. Is that her name? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't make her the main character of the Full House reboot, because then it's like, well, who's bothering her? She's the annoying one. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, well, who's the foil to Urkel's?
Maybe they have a girl who lives next door. Yeah.
And then, like, the daughter next door has, is it a nerd or is it something else? That's really bothering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think they, I feel like there's something here.
Yeah. I think you could reboot it. Listen, they'd sign on. Jaleel will sign the check if he takes it.
Jaleel doesn't seem like he's...
We're going to build a thing around him. Money. Yeah.
If you build around him, he'll do it. Now, listen, of course, in an ideal world, he would never go back to this IP, but I think he'd be willing, if he's going to be the star, nobody else is offering him to be the star of anything. So I think he'd take it.
What if Jaleel is now Stefan, and Stefan has a kid, but he's not like Stefan, he's like Urkel. And so now he has to, like, balance, like, how to parent this Urkel Jr., when he's like Stefan or Kel, right? So he's like, he's so cool. And his son is like running around with like the suspenders and like harassing some girl. I don't know. And he's coming like, Dad, how do you get girls to like you? And Stefan doesn't want to say, well, you got to invent a machine to make you cool. Even though that could be like one of the storylines.
So I don't remember the mechanism of Stefan and Steve. So could he permanently end up being Stefan? I feel like that Stefan was kind of like a bad guy.
Wasn't bad. He wasn't like inherently good like Steve tries to be. He's more like he's neutral, I think, right?
Yeah.
Chaotic neutral? Is that what the thing
is? I mean, he's not lawful neutral.
He's not evil. He just doesn't have like...
Carl Winslow.
You have to root... The show has to make you root for ultimately for Steve to win. So Stefan is a little bit more ladies' man-ish, and I mean, Steve is. He just has eyes for one lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So like he takes the cool juice, or maybe that's like his son's thing, is that he takes the cool juice and then like has a limited time to be like cool like his dad, and he goes to school and then like the juice wears off and then he's Urkel again, maybe, I don't know, we can probably
workshop this a little bit.
Yeah.
Chappelle, are you going to stay for the mailbag?
Of course. Are you kidding
me? What? All right. Some people say that's a power move to leave.
I'm a renowned celebrity. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
That's what they told me last time I was here.
So we are going to come right back with the mailbag. Akiva, anything else you want to say?
No, I loved going back into Family Matters. When do you get to do this other than a show like this?
First season 3, episode 7 in a while.
Yeah.
Not since 30 Rock. Boom.
Don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. All right. We will be back to talk about mailbag ideas and much more when we return here on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino.
Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. We are back with Mailbag 111. We are here with the great Chappelle and Goaty Claus to talk about the listener submissions here on our big mailbag after we talked about some family matters.
Yep. Thanks for calling me that. Should we sell Goaty Claw shirts in the store?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it, that we have added some Okay. All right. Damn it. What are salt like hotcakes?
Could have put your kids through college. We just got a shout out to Priya. So a listener wrote in and has a fun game that I think, I'll have you and Chappelle play now. Quick 5 minute game, which is Google put out the top 5 and 10 Google searches of the year for various topics, and I was wondering if you guys could guess them.
So
the main one is the top 10 Google searches of the year, but then it breaks them down into specific topics, and some of those are more interesting because a bunch of the top 10 are coronavirus related, and then the rest are basically dead celebrities.
Okay.
So I figured.
All right. Well, it sounds like a fun game to me. Coronavirus and dead celebrities. Are there bonus points if you can combine the two?
It's election, coronavirus, dead celebrities, and Zoom. That's the top 10.
All the big four. Mount Funmore.
The big four.
Yeah.
Mount Funmore.
Okay.
This is a TV-based network. So I was wondering if you guys could guess the top five most Googled TV shows of 2020.
Top five most Googled TV shows of 2020.
Like including Netflix originals.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. How about Tiger King?
Yeah, that's number one. That's number
one. Gotta be. Okay. What would be number two? Rob, what you think?
You get one more to win because they're hard.
Yeah.
If you get a second one, you win.
Googled TV show,
The Bachelor.
I think it's a good guess, but I think it skews new shows. Like, what's the deal with the show?
The Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, you got it. That's number five. Yeah. The Queen's Gambit, entry probably to the list. But
yeah.
The other ones were Cobra Kai, Ozark, and Umbrella Academy, which I'm not super familiar with.
Yeah, my wife said to me this morning.
Dash Widder hates Umbrella Academy.
Yes. My wife said to me this morning, I watched all 7 episodes of The Queen's Gambit. I'm like, who are you?
I didn't know there were only 7 episodes.
Yeah. Like, I watched them all in a row.
Y'all haven't watched it at all? Rob, you haven't dabbled in The Queen's Gambit yet?
No, I haven't. That if somebody wants,
when I hear The Queen, I think it's like a British show about like some queen, and I'm out.
That's
I'm
The Crown.
Listen, I don't want to watch The Crown. Right.
Equal to The Crown.
Right.
I'm out. Hard out for me.
Are you a chess guy?
I like chess as much as the next guy. My wife likes to tell my kids that when we played, when we were like engaged, she beat me, even though I think I was probably the favorite, like if we had guessed.
But were you throwing it?
No, but she has refused a rematch now for 16 years. She will not play me again.
She chooses not to run.
She's 1-0. She's undefeated lifetime against me. Stop the count.
Stop the count. 1-0. That's all that matters.
That's it.
She took her ball and went home to the other room. one more.
Chappelle, do you play chess?
I play chess. Am I good at chess? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
I was playing with my 7-year-old at the start of quarantine, but I was trying to like help him and like let him win, but then he would like get distracted and then he got cocky, and then it made me mad, and then I would have to just beat him to teach him a lesson.
Yeah,
even though I started off
relate.
I was trying to throw it to him, and then he pissed me off, so then I had to always beat him.
How very Taryn Armstrong of you.
Yes.
To just squash a child in his
I was trying to give it away, but then he's like he's being all like cocky, like he's gonna like watch TV and like multitask and beat me at chess. So I thought that the lesson he needed to learn is that if he focuses, he'll win. But if he's gonna be like sort of like half in, half out and think he can beat me, oh no.
Yeah. Insert the like laugh track or whatever from Family Matters at the end of like the once you've learned your lesson, right?
Mm-hmm. Better than woo,
ethnic kiss. Woo.
Yeah. Speaking of Taryn Armstrong, we do have a SpeakPipe message that mentions Taryn, but we'll do one more Google quiz as Rob gets that ready. That's in the StreamYard chat.
Okay,
Rob.
So let me hear.
The other Google question they send is where to buy, and then you fill in the blank. So what were people looking to buy in 2020?
Masks.
Where
face mask is number three.
Yeah,
where to buy?
Okay, so we're auto completing that question.
Correct. We're gonna auto complete this question.
Where to buy toilet paper?
Yes, yeah, Chappelle came up with number three. You came up with number two.
Well, sometimes you need that number two.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now you are missing number one, and then four and five.
Where to buy
hand sanitizer?
That's number five, Chappelle.
All right. The Family Feud team that I like.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I will say one and four are not pandemic related.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Where to buy PlayStation 5?
You got it. You got it. That is number one.
Locked in.
There you go. Okay. That's pretty impressive. You're good at this game.
Mm-hmm. What was the other one?
Xbox.
Yeah.
No.
And also, why makes me laugh only because number one for why were chainsaws invented?
A lot of people were thinking about that this year.
Like how is that? Like number two is coin shortage. Three is about George Floyd. Four is about the election. Five is about TikTok getting banned. Chainsaws. Like, was that really the talk of the town? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know where that came from.
I also like where is number one is where's my stimulus money?
Yep.
Number two is where's my refund?
Yep.
Three is where's Kansas City? That seems
I'll tell you, I think that was because of the Super Bowl that after the Chiefs won, Trump congratulated Kansas for the big win from the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. And then where's Beirut? And five is where's Shakira from? People keep wondering that.
Did Shakira have a big 2020?
She was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay. So it's very Super Bowl heavy Googling.
Yes, it's the biggest Google night of the year. Everybody knows that. It's the biggest night of the year for Wings, chips, and Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And Shakira's Colombian, for anybody who's wondering.
Yeah. You know, that's like one of the main facts everybody knows about her, also. So I'm surprised so many people did not know that.
Okay.
The only fact that we know about Shakira, well, her hips don't lie as well. That too has true. Been
everyone
proven.
Knows that.
Yeah.
Didn't Mother Winslow say something?
I Googled.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mother Winslow is disgusting. We talked about this. She doesn't have.
Flip those hips, is what she said.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. I looked it up. I Googled, you know, basically, why are people asking about where chainsaws are coming from? And it says a month ago, TikTok has everyone looking up why chainsaws were invented. And oh my God.
Meme.
So it's a TikTok. It's a TikTok meme thing. Yeah.
They got it to number one. That's pretty impressive for whoever. Whoever started that. Rob, do we have...
It was November.
Brittany's
voicemail.
So it
didn't even have all year to build up.
Yeah.
Yeah, voicemail from Brittany.
Okay, here's
mentions
Brittany.
Taryn Armstrong.
Oh.
Hey, Rob and Akiva. My name is Brittany. I'm calling from Orange County, California.
Okay.
Hope you're doing well. So over Thanksgiving, I was at my parents' house, and my stepmom was watching this show called Ayana Fixes Your Life. And it was basically a bunch of people with train wrecks of lives, and this lady gives them advice on how to fix it. And I thought that would be a funny, well, maybe not funny, but probably be an interesting podcast if Rob and Akiva fix the listeners' lives. Listeners could submit their problems or their questions, and they can be, you know, either super serious or kind of funny or mundane. We can run the gamut. And you would give them advice on how to fix their life. Maybe you can have a guest from the community. I think Taryn would be a good fit for this because Taryn often does a lot of Twitch streams where he answers a lot of people's questions about random things. And we love Taryn. And I would love to see or listen to Taryn and Akiva and Rob all on the same podcast. All right. That's my idea. All right. Bye. Thanks. Bye.
All right.
I like when people run out of stuff to say.
Well, people are not used to leaving us voicemails. We don't get a lot, but they're always fun when we get them. You could leave us voicemails at robhasawebsite.com/RenapVM is the link for that. Mm-hmm. So, all right, Chappelle, Rob and Kiva, fix your life with Taryn as the guest.
Are you familiar with Ayanla Fix My Life? Are you familiar with the show?
No. Yeah.
She may have messed her name up a little bit, but I am.
Yeah, it's Ayanla is a lady who gives these people advice. But what I found, and this is no shade to her, of course, is that she does a really good job of like coming down on like the why something is wrong with your life.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to stop there.
Mm-hmm.
The fixing part is really where she kind of lacks. Like, she's kind of like, your life is a train wreck, and this is why. You hear those things, and you're like, yeah, you're right. And you're like, well, what do I do, Ayanla? And she's like, whew, we're out of time. So for me, you know, that show in and of itself is fine. But I think you guys are right. I think if people came up with fake scenarios, I think it'd still be entertaining to listen to. There's also there's a Twitter account where people like send in like, I don't know if they're embarrassing stories or like just these very complicated stories. And the person, no one ever responds to these stories. I mean, people like comment on them, but there's no like fix to the stories. And if I could find that Twitter account, you guys could probably just pull the stories directly from there. And then you and Taryn and Akiva can talk it out.
Yeah.
I like that she's picking up. First of all, Taryn has been on the show. He was on a mailbag many episodes ago.
Yes. He was not familiar with the show, but he was on it one time.
Yeah, he might not remember that he was on it, but he was indeed once on the show.
Yeah.
Ayanla is really a Oprah mentee, right? I think Oprah was like really her.
Did we talk about the Oprah coaching tree that she was Belichickian in that not a lot of her proteges had
Gail's
a lot of success.
Doing great. Gail's like the main person on a news network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Amla's like doing very well. She's got her own show. I don't know who.
Then the show's over though. It's done.
Dr. Philip Duff is an Oprah, mentee. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. The Oprah coaching tree. I mean, the truth is Oprah, like, she kind of went away. You know, you see so little of Oprah compared to 15 years ago when her show was like towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah's kind of problematic. And so she had to, Oprah had to disappear to kind of reinvent herself because people started to look back at first off, the 90s were the dark ages. Like we let a lot of stuff slide in the 90s that we should not have let slide. Mm-hmm. And then there are things that happened in the 2000s that like, as far as television goes, that we kind of let slide. Look no further than Tyra Banks and everything that she's ever done on television. And so I think like people like her and Oprah really had to kind of like, go into hiding and let people forget about some of the things that they've done that's a little bit more problematic.
I didn't know Oprah.
Yeah, can you educate us on that? What did Oprah do?
Oprah was one of those big proponents of stop and frisk. That sounds like a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know, she's one of those if you handle yourself better, the police will treat you better. And she was very much kind of Cosby-esque in the like pull up your pants so we can respect you type of thing. And that stuff just doesn't play like it used to. That is like, oh, that was cute back then. You know, Oprah also was good friends with our current president. And depending on who you ask, you know, other people, I believe she has some ties to some Weinsteins. So, you know, Oprah had to step away.
How many Weinsteins are there? Yeah.
Only one that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, So
she might need Ayanla's help herself.
Right. Ayanla probably told her to lay low. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Here's my advice for you. I do think that there is something interesting there about Taryn fixing, because I do feel like on the one hand, I feel like that Taryn is, has all of these, you know, I feel like he's able to think like three or four moves ahead and talk about like everything that's going on the Big Brother live feeds. I think that I've told him he should write a book about like, here's what I've learned about human nature from watching Big Brother live feeds. And I think he has a lot of great ideas like that, but he's also known as being very robotic and not necessarily the person who is sort of like you would think that somebody who's giving advice would be somebody who would be very sensitive and touchy-feely. I think it could go either way.
I like it. I think
if he's up for it, I'm happy to have Taryn. Yeah, we could start a thread this week. How can Rob and Akiva fix your life? I'm up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Funny. And I think Taryn is a good, like you said, Rob, he watches people more than anybody I know. I mean, Jesus, yeah. I watch those live feeds like he does. He picks up so much. And Taryn, for him to be so quote unquote robotic, he really does get emotionally like attached to these people. Like he can sympathize with them, or at least he can pretend to. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be good.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I like it.
All right. Is it called Rob and Akiva Fix My Life or Taryn Fix My Life?
No. It could be, you know, it could be whoever's on the show. It could be Rob, Akiva, and Taryn. Or
it's also,
Taryn says no.
I think we need to make sure that we have people who want us to fix their life.
Yeah,
that,
I wouldn't even put it on the wheel until I get some submissions, but yeah. I can make it.
If you have a problem you'd like us to have Taryn work on, then send us an email, needapodcast@robswebsite.com.
Rob and Akiva Fix My Life. I think that's the good one.
Yeah. Do you need us to fix your life, Chappelle?
No. No, stay far away from my life.
Okay, right, fine. Yeah. Fair enough.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My name is Chappelle. I have a quarterback. Last year, he was great. This year, just okay. How can you help me, Robin?
Akiva, I will give you a lot of credit. I listen to your takes on your podcast, one of the 3.5 that you do. And when you talk about the Ravens, you are very accurate with a lot of my thoughts as well. Mm-hmm. Like they align. So whatever you have to say, I listen with a keen ear. Like I want them to disrespect my team today so I can be upset. And never. I've not been upset yet. You guys.
Well, I watch every game with a bunch of Ravens fans. It's just me and Ravens fans. So I sort of have the inside scoop on how the Ravens fans are feeling right now.
Right. And you're like, the fans are out. And I'm like, yeah, he's right. I mean, I'm not, but he's right. He's right. Yeah. The Ravens Twitter account posted a picture of Lamar Jackson in a cotton field. Yep. They thought it was funny to kind of mimic Taylor Swift's Evermore album that recently was released. And one of my Twitter followers, I believe, is currently still going viral for responding and saying, I know you didn't put my quarterback in a cotton field. Mm.
Yeah.
So, the fan base has a lot to laugh about these days. But I think you don't have to worry about fixing that. You guys have your own fan base.
Yeah, we have our own Lamar Jackson, and we could not be more happy with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Something of that nature.
Yes.
Okay. So, Rob, we got a lot of emails this week from high schoolers because last week we had
some.
Well, yeah, because last week, if you remember, we had a lot of high schoolers ask if we could sort of help them out. Basically, like the idea was we would mentor a high schooler. We had a bunch of high school college guidance teachers, counselors sort of write in too.
Yeah.
But one I wanted to highlight is a guy named Neil said, hey, can Rob and Akiva pick my elective class for senior year of high school?
Mm-hmm.
So
does he have any interest? Did he give any background?
Yeah. So he said he asked us last week. We said we'll make a wheel for him. So he sent in his classes. And I don't know if it should be a wheel. I don't know if Chappelle should choose for him. I don't know how we should do this.
Yeah.
But
by the way, I have to say that with all due respect to our high school listener, this is very low stakes and I am very uninterested in deciding like what elective somebody that we don't even know who it is going to take
right now. And then we're going to move on.
Okay. Let's keep this bit short.
Okay. AP Psych, yearbook, crime science. Rob, why don't you answer an email during this? We'll be done in 20 seconds. Crime science, sociology, film studies, or American law.
Yeah, these sound horrible. What's his name?
This guy's name is Neil. The world's youngest Neil. I feel like every other Neil is at least 50, and this guy's in high school.
Yeah, you have to, and then you have to grow up to be like an astronaut or something. It's a hard name to live up to. That's why we don't give it out that much. Neil, these electives suck. Definitely not yearbook. Here's the thing. If you have at any time done school from the comfort of your couch, then I think the yearbook is going to be a very boring thing to do.
Bad year for the yearbook.
A lot of you guys. Yeah, it's not a great year for the yearbook. A lot of Zoom screenshots. You do not want those problems. Yeah, don't do that. So I can eliminate that. Did you say AP Psych? Sir, that's not an elective. That's a college class. Take life seriously, Neil. If you're going to be an astronaut one day, you might need to take psychology. So I don't think that's an elective.
What was the crime one?
Class. Yeah, criminal law.
Crime science. They didn't offer any of these in my high school.
Yeah, maybe you got to listen to some true crime podcasts.
Yeah, you don't need to take that. You don't need to take that class. You could just listen to, you know, Robin Akiva, that Law and Order episode, you know.
Okay, Chappelle, just pick one, and then let's move on.
What else was there? Give me the rundown again. We've eliminated those.
What about film studies? Sociology?
Sure, film studies. You get to watch a movie.
Yeah, do film studies. You could do it from home. Yeah. Kid, real.
Yeah.
Rob's least favorite minute in the history of the show.
It was boring when I was in high school. I got to pick out what am I going to take.
Yeah, Rob my education.
AP Psych, we had to like sign this deal to take AP Psych.
Yeah. Let's figure out what Chappelle's next degree should be.
Yeah. Chappelle, do you have a lot of degrees?
A couple.
What are your degrees? And I thought you were maybe in education or a teacher. I can't really tell. I only know from social media.
I think you have yearbook, right?
Yeah,
yearbook management.
Well, my concentration was yearbook management. Thank you. We don't have to get into the Chappelle degrees of it all. I just out here having a good time.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, my AP Psych teacher, me and a few of my friends walked out of the AP because we didn't study for it. We were just in the class because then we could play poker fourth period. And then she started hysterical crying when she saw us leaving the class. It was a frequent occurrence. She just liked to cry a lot.
Your teacher cry a lot?
A lot. Well, she was a big crier. Our AP mm-hmm. Psych teacher, she was like a very tiny lady. She was like maybe 30 years old. Very nice, but we would frequently make her cry. Yes.
Wow. Oh, my God.
It was an interesting class. The
real heel turn from Akiva on this podcast.
No, I mean, I didn't really do anything wrong. I just, I couldn't take the test. Also, if you didn't take the test, it was like you got like $60 to $75 back from the AP. I was going to take the test and get a zero on it. So I left the room with my friend Eric, and she saw us and she started to
fold right before the test.
If you don't take it, you got like, I don't think we ever got our money back. I think the school was so mad they like didn't help us out or something. But yes, you could get your money back. And I'm sorry to the professor that we made her cry.
Yeah.
I slept through that same exact exam. When I did my AP exam for psychology, I went to sleep because I didn't know. I like read the first question, was like, yeah, why am I here? And I didn't sleep on purpose, but I remember reading the first question and thinking like, what am I doing here? And
then it's like $100 probably by the time you took
No, no. When you're poor, they give you vouchers for that kind of stuff. And so like, I didn't pay for it. But then like, I heard the woman walk by and go like 15 minutes. And I woke up like, oh God. And and then like flipped to the back and then just started like skimming and trying to find the answers that I do. Yeah. Yeah. You got to do, listen, Neil, if you're still listening, abacadabra. Yeah. You do abacadabra, you good. Just make sure you throw in more C's.
We got all his degrees.
That's how I got the fourth and fifth degree is abacadabra.
All right, Rob hates the education talk, Chappelle. So we'll move on.
He hates education. Yeah.
But you know what he doesn't hate? The LaTanya and the Post Show Recaps Discord, and they sent us an idea.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with LaTanya, by the way.
She's great. This comes to us. I don't even know if this Jessica Sterling must have put this in herself because I've never seen this idea, and it's in my mailbag. And this must have come up in the Post Show Recaps Discord, and I'm going to read it straight after having never seen it.
Yeah, I've heard this idea.
Okay, fine. Rob and Akiva receive a challenge. It's a pitch. The PSR team debates the RENAP team in a no-holds-barred multi-round mini-debate tournament. The proposed debate format. Moderators either one or three, so there are no split votes. We debate in two-person teams. So it's Rob and Akiva versus Antonio and LaTanya. Winner of each round face a new opponent. Last team standing wins it all.
How is this even a fair fight?
Antonio and LaTanya would demolish us. Yeah. That's insane.
They literally know everything.
It was a pillow fight between me and Akiva. Vader. Now we're going to team up and then debate LaTanya and Antonio?
Yeah, it's crazy.
No, absolutely not. LaTanya, I see you trying to embarrass these two men.
Right. What do we do? A
tournament with LeBron. I know, this is crazy.
They know, the two of them know everything.
Mm-hmm. And like, he's not talking about Rob and Akiva.
Right. Yeah, the worst thing they could do, like at this point, is like add Jessica Lease and then the rest of you just have to retire and just hand over the podcast.
Have Jessica Lease at least?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if y'all can get Jessica Lease, that might balance it out. It'll be tough.
Well, how about this?
Yeah.
First of all, it's one problem with the idea. So the winner of each round face a new opponent. So Rob and Akiva are in the first round. We lose. And then we're just off the podcast for an hour. Like, we're not there. It's like, it's the Antonio and LaTanya show. Like, what does that do for us? I mean, I guess we could take a break. Go have some coffee. But like, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. They got to punch it up. Punched up that idea. Yeah, Come back with something better.
Yeah. I'm like, we just did a debate. I'm not against like ever doing a debate again, but we did just do it. Against each other. Like, maybe there is a format me and Rob take on people, but it would be like ringers who are terrible, not like we're not going straight to the top. You know what I mean? Like, let us get a few wins in under our belt, and then we could worry about taking on
LaTanya and Antonio. Now, that's applicable.
Rob and Akiva get to pick the judges, and it's us against Antonio and LaTanya. Like that, maybe we're talking.
Yeah, like, or like if y'all were debating something that was specific to YouTube that they wouldn't be able to keep up with, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's like Rob and Akiva are debating LaTanya and Antonio about like Big Brother, yeah. Then you're like you guys got the edge,
like the usage of the Mets bullpen.
Right.
That's the true. 1991 Jets. I think you guys have an edge. Baby. Right. But yeah. Let me speak into the mic when I say no. That mm-hmm. was bad. That was a bad idea. Also, AJ needs to be the moderator mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
Yeah. If y'all do this, AJ, he has to be on or I won't listen. Yeah.
Okay. This is a season 3 episode.
By the way,
when I
heard that pitch, I said that was the same exact answer that I said of like, absolutely how is this fair?
Yeah,
where's the gong? Did we not incorporate the gong? This is a perfect time.
We haven't heard the gong in a while.
Okay.
This is the time to bring the gong. Yeah.
You got gong. That's good.
Both lovely individuals, but mm-hmm. no, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also would like to pitch episodes where I just come on and demolish people.
mm-hmm. In what? Among like, Us? What would you demolish people?
Well, I know I'm not so good at Among Us.
Like mm-hmm. Stump the Schwab. Is it Schwab? Schwab?
Yeah, Stump the Schwab.
Yeah, Stump the Schwab, and mm-hmm. it's Akiva, and they ask Akiva like questions that are very specific to like Orthodox Judaism and the Jets.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
The big tail.
Schwab, big Survivor fan.
Oh, Stump I didn't the know Schwab. That.
Yeah, he's a bit. I once did like a Survivor Q&A for him for some website.
Really? Mm-hmm. You think you can get Schwab on the show?
When you say I did a Survivor Q&A for him for some website, what does that mean?
Yeah, correct. My friend had a new website where they were, it was basically, it's basically like a widget of discussions. I think I showed it to you in like 2014.
Okay.
And basically like they have a tool that brings in discussion. So different page, like educational things and whatever would have it. So they were just doing test conversations. So they asked me to get a bunch of Survivor related guests for, conversation. So I got like Colin from Dom and Colin, and then I got the Schwab, and we got Taj, Eddie George's wife. Although I think I ended up canceling on her. That never happened. But so I had the Schwab. The Schwab was a huge casual. He kept spelling Cochran's name wrong. He really had no good takes. So I cut that one short. The Schwab did not bring a lot to the table about Survivor, but it was in his Twitter bio. Like, I love Survivor and The Young and the Restless, or Bold and the Beautiful, or something.
Okay. So, like, yeah, on CBS payroll. Do you think you could get him on the show?
Like,
if you told him, if you told him, this is Boston Rob and Akiva need a podcast,
right.
And like, because he's a casual,
yeah.
You think he would like? Oh yeah, come on, and you can stump me or something.
He ghosted me on a 32 fans idea a couple years ago.
Ooh, so this is our ops. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it's not an ops. Like, he doesn't need.
No, it's our ops.
I think. Schwab, like, to get serious for a second, he got fired from ESPN like right after his wife, who I believe had lifelong health issues that he really took care of, passed. So he had like a very tough couple years. And I think he lives, by the way, a lot of people listening don't know the Schwab. The Schwab is like the world's biggest like sports expert who had his own trivia show, but mm-hmm. was like a behind the scenes ESPN sports trivia like maniac. I believe he like lives with Dickie V now. He's like Dickie V's like right hand man, basically, in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
That's where the Schwab
is. So what you're saying is he's available.
Mm-hmm. I could try the Schwab again. If we have an idea for the Schwab, but I think that's a little bit more of a 32 fans idea. I don't know how we could use the Schwab here. And again, he did not respond to my last couple DMs. Season 3, episode 7, Rob, there's an open spot. And Taryn, with a Y, not Taryn Armstrong, says, what about season 3, episode 7 of Bar Rescue?
We're going to do season 3, episode 7 of Bar Rescue? Why?
I mean, are you not a Taffer fan? Like, everyone loves John Taffer. Like, he's the best.
Kathy Taffy. I don't care about Bar Rescue.
Okay.
Bars have a lot of problems right now. They need more than Bar Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the chef on that season? Is it Tiffany Derry? You know, Tiffany Derry.
Are you a big Bar Rescue fan?
No, I'm a big Tiffany Derry fan. She was from Top Chef, one of the early seasons. Mm-hmm. She ended up going on Top Chef All Stars, but she's a Texas chef, and I think she was on a season of Bar Rescue or two. She was the food consultant, you know, whenever they go in to talk about the restaurant portion of the bar. And so I was just wondering if she was on that season. But no, if Rob doesn't care about the show, there's no point.
I don't care about the show. I mean, am I missing something, Akiva?
And it's a fun show. I love Taffer. I feel like he's such a good character. I think there's meat on the bone there, but I'm not sad that you said no. I'm not the person who pitched it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you rather do Bar Rescue or like Hell's Kitchen? Because we talked about Gordon Ramsay before, and he's got to be. Yeah. I mean, this is an entertainment. Like anytime you
what
put
would
him
you
on,
be the guest
you're gonna
on?
Have to
what would you
about.
Be the guest on, Chappelle?
I'd talk about anything with Gordon Ramsay. I mean, because remember, didn't he call Julie Chen an idiot sandwich?
Yes. But I think that was part of a skit. I don't think it was like earnestly called her an idiot sandwich.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't call her that. But I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's probably called somebody on that show an idiot sandwich, right?
Yeah.
I'd show up for that.
Okay.
I'd show up for that. It's not bad.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
Bar Rescue, I feel like, is there nostalgia for Bar Rescue? Like, who's pumped up for season 3, episode 7 of Bar Rescue? Everyone?
I think you're underrating how many Taffer stands are
then
out
let
there.
Let that be my sin, that I underrated Bar Rescue.
Oh, man. The DMs are going to be flooded. No, not one person is going to say
I'm starting the thread not right now. Person.
Yeah.
We got an update from Fourth Wheel Ben, who's working with Fifth Wheel Navi on that cameo idea.
Okay, yeah. Get Waldo or Aldo Faldo.
Yeah, they could definitely get him. They said they've been DMing celebrities. Part of that idea was they would ask celebs question on cameo.com and then we'd have a game around the answers. But the other thing was that they would DM a lot of celebrities and we'd guess who answered and what they answered to their questions. So just an update from Ben. He says he's been snubbed from everyone from Timothy Chalamet and Dave Matthews to Billy Joel and Fred Van Vliet.
You're aiming too high, Ben. Yeah. You're aiming too
Dave
high.
Dave Matthews? Where do you get off?
Yeah.
How dare you, Dave Matthews?
Yeah.
The hell?
Yeah.
Answer marching through his DM.
I'm about to march through his DMs. Dave Matthews? How dare you?
Yeah.
I bet he's a lot of Matthews. The no response from Whoopi says cut the deepest. I will say, Rob and I are on the same page here. I emailed back Ben and Navi and said, you gotta aim a little lower.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you say low,
start with Timothy Chalamet, Reginald Vell Johnson. Yeah.
Go with unverified celebs.
No.
People, maybe Renap-centric people who I would say under 100,000 followers is like, I mean, you could try. It costs nothing if somebody has open DMs to try.
Mm-hmm.
But you should not expect to get anybody with over 100,000 followers to respond to. That's my prediction.
Here, there's an actor named Sean Harrison. Say, just slide into his DMs and say, no, don't call him that. Say hello, Sean. That. Boom. He'll be right you back in 10 seconds.
Wait, and then
big fan,
also
and then make sure something other than Family Matters, right? Big fan of like, and then mention like some other work.
I loved you on Moesha.
Yeah.
It was great seeing you in Legion of Superheroes, which premiered in the fall of 2006.
Yes.
The voice of Timberwolf.
Mm-hmm. Weren't you on Dynasty?
Right. Yeah, it's with Linda Evans.
No, is that the other one? New one.
Oh, okay. What about? Remember you in the 1986 video? I like to sing the world to sing in the role of Mike.
Yeah, wow, he's been around. Yeah. He's been around for a minute. Yeah. Waldo Geraldo.
It's 86.
Yeah,
yeah. He was Peaches on Girlfriends.
So okay, his birthday's coming up, December 28th. Slide in, happy birthday! Boom.
Yes, that's your in. Happy birthday, Mr. Harrison.
Yeah.
I loved you in Dynasty.
Yeah.
Would you like to come on Renap?
In all seriousness, Ben, why do we have to think of these things for you? How are you a fourth wheel?
Hard on Ben.
Yeah. How are you the fourth wheel if we have to tell you how to do this job?
As the unofficial eighth wheel, so the fourth wheel is the second car, I support you, Ben, and I wish you the best of luck. And if you need any ideas, I will help you with this.
Yeah.
I'm the Chappelle's DMs, but that does not count as a celebrity. He's a Renap celebrity.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I've heard.
He also said, can we have a $330 budget for the cameos and that him and Navi want to like pitch in a lot of money? I don't know about this. I don't think they should spend money on this episode.
$330 budget?
Well, they want to pitch in a bunch of that money. I don't want them spending money, though.
If they're willing to contribute, I'll contribute. They can put me in for a third of whatever y'all decide to buy.
No, I don't want our guests to spend money to be on the show.
We said we would pay for it, but I don't know why they need to spend $330.
Well, I think their pitch was that we were being too cheap and there's not enough good.
Oh, so they called us cheap first.
They didn't say cheap, but they didn't call it cheap. They literally offered to each pitch in $100 or $100 something bucks, but I... Their point was that in the $5 and $10 aisle on Cameo, there's very little. I just Googled Cameo. Brian Baumgartner, who's what's his name, Kevin on The Office,
yeah,
made $1 million on Cameo this year. Is that like a News AF header? That's crazy. That's wild.
That's just 2020.
$1 million this year per the CEO of Cameo. He charges, I think, $195 or $225, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
$1 million.
Did he ever make $1 million a year on The Office? No, right?
Of course not. I mean, they probably do nicely in syndication if he's in the opening credits, which he probably is the last couple seasons.
Okay.
The guy was literally an extra, I think, at the beginning of that show.
So Old and Busted, podcast about the show, new hotness, just go on Cameo.
There you
Wild.
Go.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
There you go. I have an idea for Robin Akiva.
Please.
What if we did Robin Akiva have the best week ever?
I
remember that show on VH1.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so throughout the week, they're like crazy things that happen in television. I remember vividly an episode of Best Week Ever where there was that lady from like Wife Swap who was yelling about gargoyles. Like it was like the Demon Slayer lady.
Okay.
Yeah. Like you compile a list of like the hot topics from television and news, kind of like News AF a little bit, but more TV centric. The goofy moments from The Bachelor, the goofy moments from this, that, and other. And then y'all talk about it, and then y'all say who has the best week ever, because we record this on the weekend, so that gives you seven days to compile. And people can, and the listeners can send you those things in, so you don't have to do the work.
Yeah. Are we attempting to sort of like recapture the format of that show, which was sort of like a I Love the 70s, 80s, 90s, like weekly version where like there's some sort of like maybe a presenter talking about setting up the clips from the week, and then we're like sort of like saying like quippy things about the things that happen?
I mean, you could do it that format, but that'd probably be more work on you guys.
Or it's more like basically you're saying it's like structured banter about the week that went by. We're not trying to recreate the format of that show.
Right. Well, because the format of that show, you would have like panelists, right? Like, let's go to Navi about her take about, you know, the aliens or whatever. And then we go to me for my little two-word joke or whatever. But I think you should probably do more like the Soup format where you play the clip, comment on the clip, play the clip, comment on the clip, blah, blah, but still lead up to this person is having the best week ever and then give us the rundown of why. I think that probably, that give us a good episode, I think.
So for instance,
and you can use me for that if you want to.
Okay, so for instance, this week, Taylor Swift had announced that she has a new album coming out this week. And then we're going to talk about that for a couple of minutes.
Right, but funny stuff, you know, like, I mean, I don't know if you have any good examples of maybe the fact that the Baltimore Ravens thought it'd be funny to put my quarterback in a cotton field. You know?
Probably would pass on that story, but yeah.
I would say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what you are. I'd say it.
So, yeah, right? So we're sort of looking for maybe so it's not sort of like the headlines, it's sort of like you said, like News AF, but of the entertainment world of like the weird stuff of like, Nick Cage is going to be doing, he's doing something weird, right? What is he doing? He's like,
isn't he always?
Yeah, he's doing like a show that's all about like his favorite obscenities.
Right. And then like, or like I saw that Disney just released their like 10 Star Wars related, whatever.
Akiva, was there one thing that you saw that Disney announced they're going to do that you'd be interested in watching?
Well, you know, I'm a big Toy Story guy. I love watching Toy Story with my
Lightyear.
Kid. So I think Lightyear's interesting. I didn't really read much about what it's going to be, but that's up there. But yeah, I don't do the Star Wars stuff, the Marvel, DC, whatever their IP is. Mm-hmm. I don't watch any of that. So it was pretty limited on my end. I'm more interested in like Space Jam 2, the WB
that's
stuff.
HBO Max,
HBO Max, and also the Sopranos one that's coming out soon. That should be interesting.
Yeah, Nick Cage, History of Swear Words, is coming January 5th to Netflix, was announced. So, I think that'd be fun. What would we call it? Entertainment AF?
No. I think Robin Akiva have the best week ever. Okay. You know, because it's just for that week. It's just for that week. Because I saw the Star Wars announcement or whatever, and I'm a little dyslexic, but like selectively. And so I thought it said like one of the shows was called, and I did this in front of people, but I thought it said The Bad Bitch was coming out. It's The Bad Batch.
Okay.
But see, I think that would play well on something.
And
like
you'll
that,
help us curate the list.
I'll help you curate the list. I'll come on. We can talk about it. The three of us can
play with these ideas. Do a little editing, it sounds like, for that. No,
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
You don't have to put any clips?
No. If we have the clips, it's like, all right, here's the trailer for this thing. We might play the trailer.
Yeah, just the absurdities of the week, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's.
And then, of course, put it on a wheel, and then we'll see if it ever comes up.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Look, if it's a good guest, the concept doesn't need to be completely fleshed out. I'm willing to roll the dice.
Am I a good guest?
Yeah,
you're a great guest.
Okay. Well, yeah. So Akiva, when that comes up on the wheel, of course, you just post one of your polls or whatever, and then people can submit their own from the week.
Chappelle a good guest? Oh, that's
put
not
on the census.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because the moment people are like, no, he's just so so. No, I mean, just like when that comes up on the wheel, we're going to need our talking points for the week. And so people can be on the lookout for those things. And as the week goes on, they can submit.
Okay, yeah, I can make a form. Yeah, I can make a form for
A form. And then when people come up with something, they're like, oh, we'll talk about this. And then we can just touch on it really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I like it.
Are we coming away with the winner of the week?
Yeah, who won the week?
We got to give somebody the best week ever. I believe the best week ever, season 3, episode 7 of the best week ever, the person having the best week ever was Martha Stewart.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming she had just got out of jail. She had that show. She was doing the show with Snoop Dogg. She had the ankle monitor on, but I mean, she was out of jail, which is, contrary to her being in jail. So that's a pretty good week, if you ask me.
Okay. Yeah.
Although her jail seemed pretty cushy, Martha Stewart's jail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, we've all been in Martha Stewart's jail because of COVID. We've all been at home.
Speaking of PR firm, like, should they be branding a lockdown as Martha Stewart's jail?
I think so. Like, live life like Martha Stewart for an indefinite amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The COVID experience.
So that's a good way to rebrand it.
Yeah. I wonder how Martha's been doing during the pandemic. This seems like she'd be right at home.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, Akiva, anything else?
No, I think it's time to spin the wheel.
Anything else, Aki?
Oh, boy. I think it's time to spin the wheel, unless Chappelle's got anything else or you have anything else. Let's save some stuff for next week.
No, okay. I just came up with that on the spot.
Yeah. good. All right. Season 3, episode 7 is ineligible for next week, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Okay. We have the coin flip. We have the crappy movie diaper. We have the People's Choice. The Price is Right. You Are a Shark Week. Spinoffs are trash. Robin Akiva invent a game show that is in quicksand. Chappelle, do you want to weigh in on the quicksand controversy? Did you like it or don't like it?
I like it because anything that makes the wheel like interesting, I'm fine with. And so the fact that this is like limited, like it's going to explode and go away forever. And I think it's not even forever, right? For like 8 months.
6 months, I thought. Yeah,
correct. Yeah. Correct. Something like that.
So I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it going away forever. I like to raise the stakes.
Yeah.
But but people are touchy about their ideas.
Yeah.
So I don't mind. But I like it. I like the idea that we have like a limited amount of time.
Renap X is on the wheel. The sequel mechanism is on the wheel. Match game. HGTV shows are trash.
That should be in quicksand.
Oh, but you want to do Bar Rescue.
Do I?
He wants to go into
it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the same idea? I mean, I've never watched Bar Rescue. It doesn't appeal
to
me.
It's much different. No, Bar Rescue is one, it is like an hour-long show where he fixes a bar. I think you'd like it.
Like, what's wrong with the bar where it's like, oh, we have no business. Yeah. It's like, have you considered Dollar Tequila Night? Like, no, oh my God. No,
I think you're right off of this. Capper is an electric TV personality, Rob.
Yeah. The thing is, you're right on like the concept of the show, right? Like it is like this bar has like the grandma's couches in there. And it's got it's got the plastic seat covers on it. It's old. It's it's like they're still serving old, old timey drinks, like old fashioned shit. Right. They're in the kitchen, like they literally just have like a bowl of peanuts. So they bring in like a professional chef and John Taffer yells at them a lot. And then they like
Shut
they punch
it, down.
It up. Yeah, they punch it up. They come in and they fix it. It's kind of like a little like extreme makeover bar edition.
Yeah, that's what it is. But Taffer is a better is a more electric personality.
Yeah, there's like a YouTube clip I could watch, but it doesn't sound like something I'd be interested in.
He's Gordon Ramsay-esque.
Yeah,
he's a little bit Gordon Ramsay like. Yeah,
it's the same mold.
Okay. We have Robin Akiva get trekked. Chappelle, you like that one, right?
Oh, I love that one. Mando.
But speaking of the Star Wars holiday special, which now that is up to 7 spots on the wheel for the Star Wars holiday special.
I also think we said, and correct me if I'm wrong, because next week is the last week before the holidays.
Yes.
That if it does, if the wheel right now does not spin to Star Wars holiday special, though we do have vetoes if you want to use them,
mm-hmm.
then the week after this, so Renap, what would be Renap 113, we're going to take a break from the numbers, and that's automatically a mailbag-less Star Wars holiday special. Is that correct? Is that what we decided?
Yeah, I believe so. I think that would be fitting. Okay. Yes. Okay. Chappelle looks so like that he is not thrilled with that decision.
Oh, okay. So my issue is that we did, one episode of Rob teaches Akiva about Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did that once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we only covered, one movie?
Three movies, yeah.
Three movies.
We covered the first three. Is the holiday special next chronologically?
So the Star Wars holiday special came out in 1977 following the success of the original Star Wars film. So it is not like a new thing. It was like it came out after the first movie. So like we have covered the source material that would be necessary to understand the Star Wars holiday special.
Is that fair? Should we allow it to have a automatic spot without the wheel? Like if it doesn't win, should we need to use vetoes? Do you know what I mean, Rob? Does that episode have to happen?
No.
Let's see what comes up on the wheel. Let's see what comes up.
Yeah, let's see what happens on the wheel. But also, I want to appeal to Aisha. This is completely unconstitutional, and I won't stand for it. So
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I won't stand for it. So there you go.
Nah. Okay. Then we have AITA is on the wheel. And Gen Z shows are trash. Best week ever is on the wheel, but not eligible for next week's show. All right, let's launch this wheel for potentially episode 112. This wheel is stacked right now. Let's see.
Huge wheel.
Let's see what comes up. All right, wheel spin for episode 112.
Yeah, 7 spots used to be half the wheel. Now it's like this week it's like a quarter of the wheel.
Okay. All right, Akiva, what has come up is the People's Choice.
Oh my God!
God damn it!
All right. Okay.
All right. Chappelle, you didn't have plans tonight, did you?
But I'm good for the convoluted People's Choice.
Okay. And
now you'd have to assume that the Star Wars holiday special is going to come up at some point.
Okay. And then I kind of feel like that is in the hands of the audience that should. How about this? What if it doesn't come up as one of the three? Should it be there as a fourth choice?
Wow, there's going to be people seceding from RNAP now. The Constitution is meaningless.
Let them leave. If they want to leave over that, they can leave.
All over Texas seceding. Yeah.
It's egregious. I'm not going to lie. This is a big, y'all doing some back
because
alley
the alternative was that we were just going to make next week's episode be it anyway, and you weren't going to have a say in it. So at least let the audience decide if the fourth choice should be the non-canonical.
I don't know.
What would Curtis be the problem Morrison with that? We were going to do it anyway. We were going to do it anyway.
People will be. Yeah. It should not be a fourth option on the wheel. Better to
make it an option on the poll.
I don't think it should.
What's your argument against this? What's your argument against this?
Yeah.
I am beholden right to now. The Constitution. I'm the same guy who didn't even want a Constitution. Now I carry a copy of it in my pocket.
That's right. I have it memorized.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Curtis Morrison just threw his phone out of the window. So I hope you're happy.
Sure, no question. Curtis, right now,
I hope you're
happy. He's heading for the Canadian border right now.
Okay.
I'm going to tweet him right now and be like, "Sir, I tried.
You don't even know what's happening."
Okay. All right. Here's spin number one for the People's Choice.
Let's do it. I hope now that Star Wars comes up as a spin because there's a lot of tomfoolery happening.
Okay. It's the coin flip. The coin flip.
Oh, geez.
This is bullshit.
Okay.
You have a coin? I don't have a coin on me. Chappelle, you have a coin?
I used to have that DVD that was over here.
Yeah, but Chappelle's, I think, impartial.
You have plenty of money. I have a coaster.
I got a coin flip generator.
A coin generator?
Okay.
Yeah.
Rob, you want heads or tails on the generator?
So the coin flip is that then you or I get to pick
Correct.
Okay. Can we reserve our pick for after the other things are selected?
Yes. Correct. Yes. I think that is fair. I think that's fair.
Yeah. All right. So
heads or tails?
You want to call it?
Heads.
All right. It's flipping. And it's heads.
Okay.
Okay. I will pick that third. So let's spin two more things and then I can pick.
Should in the poll is whatever you pick in parentheses Akiva's choice?
I don't think there will be room for that. Okay. I can mention it in the tweet, but there's no room in the poll.
Well, people that listen to the podcast will know, but you won't weight it by there's saying Akiva's choice.
There's 25 characters only. I won't have room for that.
Is coin flip eligible to come up again?
I think so.
Okay. Chappelle, any thoughts on that?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, why not?
Okay. All right. Spin number two. The people's choice.
I just hope the Star Wars thing comes up and gets smoked.
Gen Z shows are trash.
Okay. Jason Kurtzman. Now, could we, if we really wanted to, and it would be a silly use of a veto, could we veto one of these three? That would be, you're like vetoing a third of an episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want to veto this. I'm just curious.
I guess you could. I would.
You could veto Akiva's choice also if you really.
I must say y'all both have y'all's veto, right?
Yeah. Only a couple of weeks left to use it.
What the hell are y'all holding on for? Like we got like 3 days left. Like
last year we each vetoed Eddie in December, which was insane. That was one of our favorite episodes,
especially because we're Whoopi stands, and I was pissed when y'all vetoed Eddie. By the way, for the record,
okay. Yeah, we weren't ready for Eddie. By the time we got to Eddie, we were ready.
Okay, as all right. Fans. Spin number three.
Okay.
It is the Star Wars holiday special, so probability. Okay. All did right. work out in our favor. All right, so we have Gen Z shows are trash, Star Wars holiday special, which I just want to let you know that if we don't do it, it doesn't go away. We'll just be doing the Star Wars holiday special in February.
Why? Who's saying that?
Well, are you saying take it off the wheel then?
I think, well, how about this? If it loses, then it doesn't. If it loses, then it's out for now.
Hold on. I'm Akiva, that I live and die by the Constitution. And then also, if it doesn't come up, then let's just take it off the wheel.
Look, put it in the quicksand.
It's a holiday. Yeah. It's a holiday thing. It's like last year with the holiday, the Christmas Hanukkah movie.
Yes. Put it in the quicksand. All right. Let's hear your great Akiva's choice, which is coming up, which is going to dethrone the Star Wars holiday special on the week before Christmas, when it's also still Hanukkah.
Okay. Well, it won't be Hanukkah by the time we record it.
By the time people vote, it will still be.
That's true. That is true.
That's true.
Okay. So my options that I'm thinking of, Am I the A-Hole?
Okay.
Price is Right. I think the thing that's been on the wheel the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Renap X.
What's Renap X again?
It's like TED Talks.
It's like TED Talks. I'm not going to do that. It's this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put Price is Right on the wheel. Game show. Okay. Price is Right on the
Price
wheel.
Price is Right. All right. So the choices will be Gen Z shows are trash.
Mm-hmm.
The Price is Right or the Star Wars holiday special with Liana Boris.
With Liana Boris. Now, you could veto any of those three ideas if you want.
I will not.
Okay.
We're
going to bring our vetoes to late December. We're keeping our vetoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm torn because although I don't care about the Star Trek or whatever Christmas special, I like Liana. Like, she's good. And so I was like, oh, I want to hear that. But then you have Jason Curtis Rivera as well. So what am I supposed to do?
But that idea's no. Oh wait, is that idea going off the wheel if it doesn't get picked, or only Star Wars Holiday Special?
Off the list. Star Wars.
It has one more week if it doesn't get picked this week. But I don't know why giving an automatic spot. I don't know if we should stopping down and saying like no episode next week. We're doing something we want to do. I think that's outside the
You're just saying it because you don't want to talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, everybody knows that, but also I'm right.
Like, you're not right. You're not right.
Both things can be true. I still think you can put the Star Wars
like
in the
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Put Star Wars in the quicksand. And in that way, if it don't come up in 4 weeks, then we can say, okay, look.
Do you know how badly Star Wars Holiday Special is going to win this poll?
Yeah, it's going to destroy.
It's going to be a runaway by 40 points.
I don't know
about it. It's a Liana bump. It really is the Liana bump, because I was going to vote for anything with JCR on it, but I mean, now I'm like, well.
Yeah, and you picked The Price is Right, which has like no juice whatsoever.
What were you doing?
That was a terrible pick that if you wanted to dethrone Star Wars Holiday Special.
Jeez, we got ganging up on me. Well, let me make
it's a juggernaut, and you sent out The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm. I think we haven't had a game show in a long time. We're right for a game show.
It's not even the best game show that's out. Like, you could have did like.
Well, we have the game written. We have the game written ready, and it's been out for a while. If there's so many Liana stands, I'll say if Price is Right wins the poll, Liana can come on the Price is Right. Like, fine, you'll get your Liana fix no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. What day will the poll go?
I don't know who's in the Star Wars. I have whoever in the Price is Right.
Everyone's in the Star Wars.
John. What about the John John stands? John John's going to be on the Price is Right. Forget it.
That's a game changer now.
I
told John John for his birthday. He could come on the Price is Right episode, which is not.
Well, look, we might actually have to have a conversation. Look, I'm not saying I don't want Star Wars to win, but if I have to pick between Star Wars and John John, I'm just saying it's clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Gen Z shows. Well, you know, Jason Curtis Rivera, he's got the Amanda Rabinowitz, you know, that whole faction. Maybe they all vote for that. Mm-hmm.
The I know you don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Okay. What day should we expect that poll?
I'd say Monday afternoon.
Monday afternoon. All right. Be on the lookout for the poll between Gen Z shows of trash, the Star Wars Holiday Special with Liana Boris, or The Price is Right. We'll see what comes up for when you decide. I feel like that, by the way, People's Choice is red hot.
Yeah.
It only has one spot on the wheel for anybody that's like, boy, is People's Choice like a giant wedge? No. Nope. It's like one spot.
It generates so much drama every time, too. It's never just like a straightforward, like, what do you guys want? It's always like, do we have to spin the wheel again and flip the coin and do a poll? And like, I keep that out there.
Maybe it should have two spots. It doesn't need it, but it could have two spots. All right. So, Akiva, anything else?
No, I mean, I don't know what we're going to do if Star Wars loses, but you don't think that's going to happen. So, if Star Wars loses, can you then veto, let's say Gen Z shows are trash?
I can't veto it midweek, because then the listeners don't know what the show is going to be.
Yeah, they need to prepare for like a month beforehand. Like, it's
I don't think they need to prepare, but I mean, the whole show is we talk about what's going to come up on the wheel.
True.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I don't have anything else. We're deep enough in, we could say RIP to, not RIP, but au revoir to Manish Mehta, our hated Manish Mehta. He got fired. We hate that guy.
Do you know anything about this, Chappelle?
No. What is this?
The Jets even have drama on their press coverage beat, where the reporter who was like the chief antagonist of the Jets, like they basically had like a very like trolly reporter who like just antagonized them and then always like wrote negative stories. That turns out he was like a really bad guy who was doing like a lot of stuff behind the scenes, like sending threatening texts to the GM about how he saw his son at a Phillies game. And then also was there was a whole like laundry list.
Yeah. Imagine if like Skip Bayless was more mean spirited and was a beat writer instead of like a national TV guy.
Mm-hmm. Who haven't the Jets fired in the last week? Like, didn't you guys just fire like the defensive coordinator?
They banned
the reporter from the site, and then finally the Daily News fired him this week. It's very exciting.
You know, it is. I'm sure that the people that work for the Jets are very excited, as I will be when things become revealed to the people that troll me that they are actually also terrible people that I
look
forward to that day as well. Yeah.
What's his name? Manish Mehta.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really wanted to be he wanted to be the new Skip Bayless, basically. He wanted to get like TV spots, and he's just so low.
He treated the Jets more like political coverage of like the opposition power, where whatever side you're on, like the opposite side that covers that's what he was towards the Jets.
He was like Fox News. He was like Fox News if the Jets were like a Democratic entity.
Oh, okay. So you guys are like, hey, we should all tank. And he's like, you know who sucks for the brand? People who think we should tank. We right. should win at least 1 to 5 games so that we don't get the best pick ever. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Okay. I see where he's saying.
We're way out of our stuff.
But started. Yeah.
Yeah. But he would like complain like, but the Jets GM said this team was going to compete this year. So obviously he's lying about like he would. Mm. So he just tries to create trouble.
Monish Metal World Peace. I think mm-hmm. I should He's steal gone. That name. Yeah.
Monish Metal World Peace. I think you could have
that. That's a pretty good one day Twitter handle.
Yeah.
If people get it, we'll love it.
Yeah.
The Jets fans.
Akiva, what's next for you?
We have a two-parter on NGOG this week, which means I got to watch a lot of extra TV.
By the way, what about, I'm sure people are going to want to know, One Tree Hill, season 3, episode 7 with Brian Cohen.
You almost got me in trouble. Yeah, I am fine to add that. I almost got myself in trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm fine. I think we can put that in the fishbowl. It takes the spot of Family Matters, that 13th spot in the fishbowl, if you want to put it in.
Sure.
I think that's a good spot. What do you think about One Tree Hill, Chappelle? I think that's a good spot for the fishbowl.
I love One Tree Hill. Mando. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Yeah, I don't care about One Tree Hill, but if Brian Cohen feels strongly about it, I'm happy to have Cohen Brian _ on the podcast.
Listen, he's got the number 35 TV and film podcast in the country. You can't script that kind of heat right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never actually seen the show, but I know one of those three named actors has like the lead role. Is like
Chad Michael Murray.
Oh yeah, I was like Jesse Tyler.
I should have given you like fake three names.
We could have ranked them honestly. Like the mm-hmm. people with three names, like obviously the top
King of the three names
is at the top. Yeah, and then you have like Sarah Jessica Parker, and then like down at the bottom. Let me be very clear. The bottom is firmly Neil Patrick Harris.
Ooh, you're not an MPH guy.
It's like three names. It's not like three first names. It could be any three names, James Earl Jones. Three names.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I think King of the what would you call it? The three King names? Of the Threes?
Yeah. 3-3 V Winokur.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the 32 fans idea or is this a Renap? Like ranking
this is a Renap idea.
I think this is a Renap idea.
You want to do it?
We put best King of the Mets three and names, they weren't even Mets.
Three name celebrity. We're going to green light this.
Yeah.
Right now.
What are we going to call
We've
it?
Never greenlit something after the wheel spin. I don't think before.
Yeah. Hmm. What are we going to call it?
I think there's a lot of look. I think that could be part of the fun. Let the listeners
tell us.
Should
this be a bracket? Should this be a March bracket? The three name bracket.
The three name bracket.
I liked King of the Mets.
Are they historical three names also? Like
could be anything.
But think of a good like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's a three namer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I could no. I think you should probably stick Mark to like David maybe like actors.
Mm-hmm.
Mark David Chapman. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's not good.
This could be leg. This could have legs.
It might have legs.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about this? Let's workshop this and then see if we can really hone down what the format is and whether it should be just actors and actresses or if we want to have a historical bracket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know where that came
serial
from.
Serial killer bracket. Yeah.
Good. Okay. That's good.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
Booking future trips on this show as we close.
Yeah, he's an app celebrity.
That's what I heard.
Yes. Okay. Akiva, anything else?
I think that's it. I think 32 fans. We got a lot of football playoff talk heating up. That's fun. We did Survivor coverage with Mike Bloom on the Patreon NGOG double episode. Robin Akiva need a podcast. That's this. Hanukkah, got to get my kids some presents. That's about it.
Yeah.
How many more episodes are in this season of NGOG?
Of New Girl? I think there's like, I think it's 25. Shows used to do like 25 episodes. Family Matters, the season we talked about today, had 25 episodes. Now it's like you're lucky if you get 18 out of these shows.
Yeah.
But the season one is 25 episodes of New Girl.
Jeez. Okay.
Okay. All right. Chappelle, what's next for you?
Waiting on you to call me.
Yeah.
You call, I answer, we do this. I don't know. I don't have anything.
Well, I'm going to pitch you on some more stuff after we get done with the podcast.
I think Chappelle,
I'll be too embarrassed if you say no. Yeah.
What if we do a, like, it doesn't have to be Renap. It can be Renap. Like, what Chappelle's like major project? Like, we people pitch ideas. We have a bracket of projects for Chappelle, and the winner, that's his new podcast. guessing on every show from here till eternity.
Yeah.
He gets like,
interesting. That's interesting.
One of my Twitter followers has a Star Trek podcast, I guess. And so I congratulated her. I said, hey, congratulations. I heard you have a podcast. And she said, don't you have one too? I was like, no, I just,
it's kind of a professional guest. You're a professional guest.
Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I just kind of pop in on other people's stuff. She's like, do you want to be a Star Trek? Mendo. I don't know. I don't know what to.
All right. All right. We'll figure out what Chappelle's going to do next. All right. Sure. Thank you so much for listening. Get out and vote this week also, and let us know what is going to be episode 112. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
I think we really need a podcast, but I'd need your help. Can we finally seal the deal?
I think we do. We need a podcast, but that's not enough. We have nothing if we don't at least have a small idea.
For this weekend, let's just pretend that we know what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
I got one more podcast to do.
I bet Mira's happy that I get to do two. I got one more podcast to do.
And I'm just happy that I get to do it with you.
Listen, Akiva, I'm sorry I peeved ya, but you know it's all in good fun. I never expected we'd all be objective. Now this new podcast has begun.
Dude, are you a moron? You think that I'd move on? Leaving was never my plan. You act like an asshat, but of course I'll come back. To the 32 fans.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've gotten your fill. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.